much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
All units in place. All weapons ready. We are standing by awaiting orders. Over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Back here live at the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
All right. You're great, zombie. Good times here at the Waterfront Village, open for the next 11 days.
It's so bizarre and unnatural, but it happens.
Just because we're not rich doesn't mean that we don't have... Oh, I can't even finish. I want to be rich.
Give it up, what? Woo! Do not leave a brother hanging.
Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello!
Morning, Mr. Breakfast!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't freaking be like that, okay?
Roll another one.
Omar Khan, the father of the second
person. Just like the other one.
Once again, you, Omar.
Run, Forrest! Run!
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You're my boy, Blue.
Roll.
The station is rigged.
Just like the other one.
I don't have no idea.
This one seems to be about to end.
I made it. Hey.
I don't have another sin.
We prepped everything we were told was Drew. I got nothing for Psycho Mike. Who's Psycho Mike?
Do they do stuff to your butt?
Just pass it around.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
Cleveland.
Steamer.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
She's a spaghetti girl.
So you've had, would you say, a limited vocabulary due to not a great education?
Our feature presentation.
I would say yes. I would say that would be true.
Why not pick up the phone and give us a call for the Friday edition of Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. We already have James on the line. We'll get to in a second, talking about preseason football last night. But this is your invitation to call on any topic.
Speaking of which, just before you get to something else, 1-800-520-1067. I always like to point out occasionally that the guys in the middle of that song that say it's our time to shine, it's our time to shine.
Yes.
It's our time to shine, it's our time to shine.
Yes.
Lost that game. Just like to point that out.
Really?
It was not their turn to shine.
Those were the Titans, I believe, weren't they?
I don't remember.
The Titans it came from?
I don't remember. I just remember that was their pregame warm-up.
Right.
And then they went out and lost. So, back to you, B.
Well, we come in every day and say it's going to be a great show, too. Yeah, so, true. Sometimes you can have the best of intentions. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to pay off. Anyway, your call's coming up on Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. No death for you this morning, but I thought this was interesting. Every time you see oftentimes you see a case of somebody going to jail, and it doesn't do anything for the victim. The person who committed the crime, in this case embezzlement, may be being punished, but that doesn't really do much for the person who got ripped off. The person whose company got all their money stolen,
right,
doesn't really benefit by the person who stole it going to jail for a long time, right?
Right.
That's why I love this story so much that comes out of a Philadelphia neighborhood where a woman embezzled almost $500,000 from her employer over the series of a couple of years. And the judge said, I could send you to jail, but I want you to pay that money back. So I'm going to sentence you to restitution for $750 a month and house arrest for the next 21 years.
Oh, wow. So basically, wow, all she can do is work to pay back?
Yep.
That's Which, great. I wish there were more judges like that.
Yeah, I mean, she could be in jail for that length of time, so it's still better.
right, it's than better, being in jail.
And now the employer, the company, the small business that she ripped off is actually going to receive money from her every month.
That is awesome.
So, I mean, 21 years of – now, she can pay it off earlier if she wants to, and that appears to be her plan because she has already sold her house to make a dent in the money. So she's already doing everything she can to cut down the time. But isn't this an unbelievably creative – sentence from the judge and a win for everybody?
I love creative judges. They always crack
me up. Exactly. Yeah, because let's face it, it's not going to do society any good to have this woman in jail. It's not like she's a danger, right?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool. I mean, house arrest for 21 years doesn't sound too bad to me either, but I'm just saying.
That's Bean's dream.
Oh, sorry, I can't come to your high school reunion, my wife, in 2 weeks when I'm supposed to because I'm on house arrest.
Sure would like to, but
sure
can't.
Would love to.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking to have to stay here. Bean really would be in heaven.
Yeah, he would.
He really would be.
So anyway, so good times. Congratulations, Judge.
All right. Let's take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. Any topic?
We're sorry. You missed first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
And today's prize is a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Let's take that call from James, who wants to talk about the mighty Oakland Raiders, who are undefeated in the 2010 football campaign. Hey, James, what's up?
How's it going? What it do?
What it do?
Kevin Bean, listen to me. Hey, how about last night's game? I mean, what an upsetting performance by Dallas Cowboys.
I didn't see it, but I see here that the Raiders beat them.
Yeah. And it all happened in the fourth quarter, pretty much. The Cowboys was 6-0 the whole game till about the fourth quarter, and it just started slipping.
Yeah, these preseason games, though, don't they play a lot of non-starters and try people out and all that kind of stuff?
Well, in the first quarter, it was all the starters, pretty much.
Right.
But then after that, they threw in everyone else, and that's when
then it's scrubs.
That's hit the fan.
Scrubs versus scrubs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are the Raiders expected to do something this year, or was this just a one-off?
I'm not quite sure. I'm actually a Cowboy fan. That's why I'm so teed off today.
Oh, you should be.
I heard Psycho Mike the other day, and of course, he's the sketchiest of all possible sources on all possible topics, predicting a winning season for the Raiders this year. Right, Mike?
Yep. That was my Jason Schwartzman said, what do you feel about the NFL this year? And my first thing I said was, I feel like, I know it sounds crazy, Raiders are going to win more than 8 games.
Yeah, it looks like that at the beginning of every season, but they're one of those teams that find a way to lose.
You're right, but the AFC West is very weak, and not having Jamarcus Russell as your quarterback is a big, big plus. Not only, you know, on the field with the X's and O's, but just the team has to have so much more confidence going into the game.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Oh,
thanks for the call, James. Who do they get to replace him? They get somebody good?
What's his name from Washington? Since they signed McNabb, what's his name?
Jason Campbell?
Yeah, there you go.
Dave, just something out of your phones.
Let's try Paul, line 8, also calling about the NFL. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, so it's Ray Lewis with the Baltimore Ravens that says it's our time to shine.
The Ravens.
No way. That's Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Because you can't even hear the gunfire.
See what you did?
I had a soccer joke for you guys.
All right.
What's the worst thing about playing soccer?
I give up.
Telling your parents you're gay.
Two good pieces of information. Thank you, Paul.
You saw the big. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. You saw the big soccer news that came out yesterday. The big announcement from the MLS, right?
Which one?
It's the startling confession that has the whole sports world buzzing. Soccer has come out of the closet to tell the world it's gay.
I mean, whoever would have? I mean, seriously.
League officials said soccer was just tired of pretending to be something it's not. Deep down, soccer is about a bunch of guys running around not touching a polka dot ball with their hands. It shouldn't have to hide how gay it is. Now, will this change the way the game is played? No. If anything, I think we'll see a firmer commitment to the gayest parts of soccer.
Interesting.
Players will feel free now to do their bicycle kicks, juggle the ball with their knees, and generally just be as gay as they want to be without worrying what people think.
So there you go. So apparently soccer is out of the closet. They've decided to quit fighting it.
I didn't realize that. Well, they must be relieved.
All right, one more. Let's try Brian on the Kevin and Bean Show on line 4. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Bean, you suck. How don't you have any Bean's Death Corner on Friday the 13th?
Well,
oh, it's Friday the 13th.
I never thought about it.
Here's my whole thing. I love Death Corner, and I would do Death Corner every day.
It would be the whole show if Bean had his way.
But I can tell, and I may have to start a podcast. That's all there is to it. This may be the thing that finally pushes me into the podcast. But I can tell that it gets on the last nerve of everybody else on the show. So that's why I try to ease up a little bit some days. Like, I don't want to do too many days in a row of Death Corner. So every once in a while, I like to bring them, like today, a light, fluffy, happy story.
Well, death for most of us is a bummer. So
Kevin, like a little girl, gets depressed every time somebody picks up a corpse on the side of the road and has sex with it. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with that.
Well, that one was exceptional.
Yeah, the was like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, you're right.
He's right, though. Come on, Friday the 13th.
Come on.
Hey, let's not listen. Everything's good. We're all right.
Everything's fine. I'm back in Brian.
All right.
There'll be plenty of Death Corner in the future, but I appreciate your attention to detail. Brian, please hang on for your Kevin and Bean t-shirt, okay?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Nobody wants that, you stupid asshole.
I know.
Wow.
But I don't have much else. Kevin Smith will be here today.
He's the best.
Very excited about that. We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Expendables, Kevin. Today's your Expendables movie.
I know. There's that one, and there's Scott Pilgrim.
Yep.
Both
today.
But you're not going to have time for either of them because of Eat, Pray, Love. So what are you going to do? Busy guys this weekend.
Speaking of the Expendables, we did talk to some of the stars when we were down in San Diego. We got some highlights of that. We have LaQuisha on the program today talking about Jersey Shore last night.
Hey. Hate Jersey Shore. Love LaQuisha.
Yep. And we also have smokeout tickets for you today.
All right.
That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the show business. The world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:51.
I'm sorry, I was listening to the Muse song a little loud. I missed that last comment. I didn't hear what the last thing was you said right before the end of the song there, Kevin. Could you repeat?
I sure do love that band Muse.
It's weird. I thought it was something else.
Nope.
Did you hear it, Ralph? Could you catch what he was saying?
No, I'm sorry. I don't listen to
Muse
Kevin.
Sure is good.
All right. It is Friday. Ralph is here with our very first look at the showbiz beat for a new day on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Argar?
Lindsay Lohan! Still in rehab, but for how long? Here's an interesting piece of information, I hope. You know, they changed judges in the Lindsay Lohan case.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Marcia Revelle, the original judge, was apparently... her conduct was in question because she went outside of the process to talk to people involved in the case without going through the lawyers. She got personally involved and called several of the rehab facilities they were considering to send Lindsay Lohan to, including this Morningside place that wasn't even on the approved list of the court. She just acted oddly outside of her boundaries in some people's eyes.
Like so she was too interested in the story?
Right. Yeah. So she had to recuse herself from the case. So they've got a new judge over there regarding Lindsay Lohan. And they're saying now, because of the change in judges, her team may be able to get Lindsay released early from her court-ordered stint in drug and alcohol rehab, rather than the full 90 days that she was initially sentenced to.
And her team thinks that's a good
idea?
And
I'm thinking, why is that good for her?
Yeah, that seems ridiculous.
Her team should want her to get healthy.
Yeah.
Huh.
So... we'll have to wait and see, but according to Radar Online, it's looking as if early release is what is in the cards for Lindsay Lohan.
I'm sure her mom's in there pushing for it because she's brilliant.
Look, Lindsay probably only needs 1-2 days tops of rehab.
And yeah, it's not there anyway.
She's good.
She seems to be a strong person.
Yeah,
her head's in the right place.
Right.
A good kid, gets good grades, all that stuff.
She's great.
God damn people.
And she's committed to her sobriety. That's one thing I've learned about Lindsay over the years.
She should be committed.
Zac Efron's in the news.
What's going on with my feet, Zach?
Stop it.
He's going to be in the cover of September's Details magazine, which is also known as gay porn. apparently, he was there at the shoot with his girlfriend, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
And the two down shots. While partying like rock stars, says the New York Post, at the editor-in-chief's place. And apparently everyone was having a good time.
Queer.
Queer!
Look, you can say that Zach is too pretty. You can't really accuse him of being gay.
No, we're really accusing you of being gay, first of all. But look, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Charlie St. Cloud sure was a barn burner at the box office, wasn't it?
You could look at him and go, of course it's a guess, but, you know. He's got a good gaiter.
Can't wait till he's turning tricks in West Hollywood for beer money.
I know.
It's going to be the best day of my life.
Working Vaseline Alley.
Yep.
So, Vanessa's just a beard?
If you've seen her naked, you know she has a beard. She needs a shave. I know that much.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's an interesting idea for a movie. And you may doubt me initially, but wait till I tell you some details.
All right.
Apparently, there is a biopic in the works based on the final years of Beach Boys drummer Dennis Wilson.
This movie's going to suck.
Oh, come on. Give me a chance here. Okay. Give me a minute.
All right, sorry.
Now, the Beach Boys is not a particularly relevant or interesting band, right?
Right.
But they had some big hits.
Yes.
And Dennis, the drummer, was the most interesting of all of them.
Why?
Because he was a nut.
Oh, he was crazy?
Yeah, and he was on drugs and everything. But a fascinating little piece, a snippet of a story, and I hope they focus on this. He became very good friends with Charlie Manson.
What?
Yeah, Charlie Manson lived at his house for a while with the Manson family. They all crashed at Dennis's pad.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
And then Dennis goes to the rest of the Beach Boys and goes, hey, my buddy Charlie's got some great music, man. Let's record some of his songs. And he wanted them to record Charlie Manson songs.
Did they?
They tried.
That'd be awesome.
And everybody in the band was like, this music sucks.
This is bad. What are you thinking?
But it's an interesting period of time in his life, and I think it could make for an interesting film.
That's bizarre.
You wouldn't think one of the Beach Boys hanging out with Charlie Manson.
No.
And eventually they left his joint and went on to that ranch they lived on, and that's when all the bad stuff started.
That's when all the murdering started?
Yeah, I think it came from listening too much Beach Boys music.
Could
that's probably why he started murdering people.
Could be.
Yeah, he was. I mean, of course, I love the Beach Boys, and I know a lot about Dennis Wilson. But yeah, he was a crazy rocker. I mean, you wouldn't expect. I mean, he partied like he was in Led Zeppelin, not like he was in the Beach Boys.
Yeah, could be good times. Speaking of partying like you're in Led Zeppelin, Snooki wants everyone to know that she is not a role model.
Really,
to all the kids out there that look up to her and want to be like her, she is asking them to reconsider. She said, all I do is party, and that is certainly not something to envy.
I can't believe somebody misinterpreted her life as anything other than that.
Well,
no one did, by the way.
She claims there are teenagers who look up to her and want to be just like her.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
They want to be short, fat, hideous, and drunk.
Getting fights all the time.
And get punched.
If she's getting any kind of positive feedback, it's only because other kids go, she's famous, why can't I be famous? Not they want to be like Snooki. They just want to have Snooki's life.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking yesterday when we were talking about porn and the fact that Lawrence Fishburne's daughter, Montana, is getting into it.
Right.
And she wants to do it to spark some sort of legitimate career. I realized that the problem in that situation isn't porn. It isn't about sexuality. It isn't about filming yourself and releasing it. It is about the desperation some people have for fame. That if you so badly want to be famous that you will do anything to achieve it, even if it means embarrassing yourself and your family. That's the core problem in that situation.
It could be, yeah.
And I think that people like Snooki just reinforce that issue here in America.
Now, would you appearing on this show, would that qualify in the umbrella of what you're talking about?
Yeah. If I wanted to be famous, I wouldn't be on this show. I would be on a show that maybe people listened to and actually enjoyed. I would have steered my career in another direction. I consider that's this legit. Sort of community service. If people are unfortunate enough to land on this show, I'd like to think I can bring them a little ray of sunshine in the darkness. And relationship news. This is an interesting one. In Touch magazine reports that Lucy Liu.
Hi!
Hey!
41-year-old Lucy Liu has a new boyfriend. She's dating 29-year-old Inception star Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Right.
That is interesting.
That's a win-win. That's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah.
He gets Lucy Liu, even though she's, you know, a little tongue long in the tooth.
She looks great.
I think she still looks great.
Yeah, but she's 41. I'm sure there's girls that are 23 that also look great.
I agree.
I mean, I think I've seen one or two. And she gets a young guy whose career's on the rise. So everybody wins. And I just want to put this out there for Omar finally in the Showbiz Beat. This Sunday, you can finally get the exclusive line of Glee clothing that hits the racks in Macy's.
All right.
You want to make sure you can get out to the mall this Sunday to pick up your Glee clothing line.
I want to remind everyone that this is absolutely not gay.
T-shirts, hoodies, even
but they just say Glee.
Yeah,
yeah.
With the and also photos of the cast and stuff like that. And they have the Sue Sylvester sweatsuit also available.
If you
want to pick up Sue's outfit. She rocks that. She looks good.
She's the best. Without her, that show's not good.
I'm looking forward to the show coming back. Let me see when it comes back. I got it here sometime.
September.
Wait, did you say love her? The show's not good. Is that what you said?
Um, I, I said without
I liked
her.
Glee.
Without her, the show wouldn't be as good. I should have said wouldn't be as good. Yeah.
Second season starts September 21st at 8 p.m. That's a Tuesday. Mark your calendars.
Kevin, your Jane Lynch is going to host Saturday Night Live this year, too.
So
you may actually one time tune in to see that show this season.
No. But she's funny.
Not going to happen.
She's.
If anything funny happens on that show, it'll be on the internet the next day.
Correct.
That's how I watch Saturday
Not worth
Live
it.
No.
But she is funny.
Today's celebrity birthdays are rough. We have gold medal winning speed skater Shawnee Davis.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
26 years old today. We've got Pat Harrington, who, of course, played Schneider on One Day at a Time.
Yeah, Schneider!
Don't know that he should even make the list.
He's 81 years old today.
What?
81?
Yeah. If he had lived, Danny Bonaducci would have been 51 years old today.
He was a good child star before we lost him so young.
John Slattery, however, from Mad Men, who plays Roger Sterling on that show.
Oh, he's a good Roger.
You don't even watch that show. He is 48. He's a great actor. And Debbie Mazar from Entourage. Is 46 years old today.
Weekday.
Not a big batch.
No, weekday.
Not a strong batch.
No.
Maybe we can play Sir Mix-a-Lot again from yesterday. Kind of spice things up. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. 323-520-AFRO. Any advice for people who have never called the Afro Line that would like to start? They've got a witty idea they'd like to pass along to us? Because I know we do get a lot of calls. Many of them, most of them, we can't put on the radio.
Yeah. Know what you want to say would help. You know, there are a lot of people who just start talking, and then they realize, sort of like me, you know, that all of a sudden their mind goes blank.
Yeah.
So maybe plan it out ahead of time.
We do appreciate if you take the time to call. 323-520-AFRO is the number. Let's see what this week's bash looks like.
Oh, Kevin, Michael Clarkson Duncan is going to kick your cracker ass.
Yeah, it's not. Look.
That's a perfect call for the Afro Line, first of all. And second of all, he's so right.
Yeah.
We're not going to fight.
Not pick
we
a
aren't
fight.
Fighting.
Why you would pick a fight with a guy
well,
like that
didn't
is
pick
beyond
a fight. I said
me.
I said he was at a celebrity game, and he threw like a girl.
Yeah,
okay.
Them's fighting words.
And by the way, he did.
Yeah, you picked a fight, and B, are you going to look at the teary eyes of your little girls and explain why daddy is a liar and a coward, or are we
daddy's about
it?
To die? What?
Oh, you're why daddy's a paraplegic?
What if I knock him out? Then what?
Yeah.
Then you are the king of all men.
All right.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
If you be my pitcher, I'll be your catcher. Just make it in all the way this time. All right.
How dare you?
Oh, wow. Man.
All right. It was embarrassing. I threw the pitch out at the Dodger game. I fell. The ball hit halfway to the plate. You can see the video at kevinandbean.com. Blah, blah, blah. I get it.
It is
ironic. I accept your scorn.
That in the same week that you're yelling at Michael Clark Duncan for throwing like a girl, you throw a baseball and end up face first in the dirt.
But did I look like a girl doing it, or just
no,
an idiot?
You look like a retarded guy.
All right. All right. So that's the difference.
Hey, Lammy. I mean, Kevin, I just have one question for you. What did you do?
Awesome.
Sure glad that's catching on. Sometimes the humor that we use on this program, if you use it outside the confines of this program, it doesn't really play well.
Well, I serve tables at a restaurant. And I just had a man with the last name H-I-I. Well, when I delivered his check, I said, thank you, Mr. Hi! He looked at me like I was an asshole.
Right.
And proceeded to give me no money for tip.
Oh.
I hate you guys. I hate you guys so much.
Look,
no,
look.
You did the right thing.
Yeah, right.
That was awesome.
You did the right
thing. How could you not? It would be impossible not to do that.
It was worth not getting a tip from that one guy.
Yes.
If you are listening, you're up early, or you're listening on the podcast, email me your address. I will mail you the $3 you would have gotten as a tip.
There you go.
Okay?
There you go.
What did you do?
All right. Enough of that.
Kevin, what
enough.
Did you do?
Mel Gibson is taking over the world, and especially in traffic.
Traffic. Oh, good.
That was the most fascinating part of that tape for me.
That snorting?
Out of all that, you know, abuse.
Panting?
What was he so out of breath for?
It's bizarre.
It was really just weird.
And it's also funny that Mel Gibson has moved the line to about what is now considered a meltdown. You can be really, really angry now, and it doesn't seem as angry because you've heard Mel Gibson. And
yeah.
He's so much further than you.
It helped. Certainly helped, yeah.
Holy crap.
I'd love to hold you in my arms, kiss your soft neck, make love to you all weekend long. Wow. With doo-doo on it.
Oh, I listen. Knew that was going to happen.
Listen, that can't catch on either.
No, I agree. Right? I hate that.
We
I
don't
know
need
that.
That.
I like that.
Here's an impression of Bean.
But that house with doo-doo on it.
All right, okay, listen.
Again with the doo-doo. We not don't necessary. Need We're not four that. People.
Oh, Bean loves guys. Oh, Bean loves guys. That's all I got. But that's pretty good, right?
Nope.
Because Bean loves death, but I'm saying that he's gay is the thing.
Right.
Bean loves guys.
Right. Right.
All comedy is funnier if it immediately has to be explained. That's one thing I've learned.
Yeah, if you tell a punchline and then you follow it up with "see because,"
just makes it better.
It's always better. And then Mel called back. So that's good times. Here's the actual Mel, just to refresh you. I don't know what's going on there. Did he just run a marathon? Is he running a marathon
if
while calling her?
If you run a marathon, you don't sound like that.
That's true. You don't breathe that hard even if you run a marathon.
That.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours. All right. Okay. All right. It's okay. All right. Okay.
It's got to be done by now.
Yeah.
Just saying. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us Fridays for the Week in Rage. He, as you know, is a big-time star now and tours the country doing his hilarious stand-up act. I think he's in Phoenix this weekend. So we get the opportunity to turn the calls over to you for this Week in Rage at 1-800-520-1067. Every single person out there is at the boiling point about something, and oftentimes it's something minute, something yeah. really, really small, but for whatever reason, it just gets under your fingernails and you hate it so much.
The smaller, the better.
Of course.
Those are the funnier ones because they're so ridiculously, you know, unimportant. But they still seem to drive you crazy.
And the problem is you can't really complain to anybody about it because nobody else cares.
Yeah.
But it's still eating at you from the inside. So this is your opportunity to get it off your chest at 1-800-520-1067. You get to be Mr. Carolla this Week in Rage. Kevin, I know you had something that you were fired up about this morning. What's
I've
going
been
on?
For a while. This drives me crazy. And that is you go to the movie theater and you sit there and you watch a trailer. And you think, wow, that looks great. I can't wait. When does it come out?
Mm-hmm.
Summer 2011. What?
That is BS.
Drives me crazy.
Giant BS.
I mean, I told, you know, you could completely understand why they do it. They want to build awareness. It takes a lot of time. But it just drives me out of my mind. Because, you know, once they get you thirsty, then you need to take a drink. But they won't let you.
Right.
Summer 2011.
Bastards.
Even this Christmas. That drives me crazy.
It is too much of a tease to make you wait for 8, 10, 12 months sometimes to see a movie once you've seen the trailer.
My
That's
attention
for sure.
span is like 5 minutes. I can't plan for summer 2011.
It is true, by the way, that sometimes you see trailers for a year leading up to a movie, and you've seen the trailer and variations of the trailer so often that you feel like the movie must have already come out and you must have right. already missed it because they've been advertising it for so long. All right. How about you, Psycho Mike?
I know that I'm not the best when it comes to phone etiquette. I hate talking on the phone. But if someone calls you and you don't answer,
right.
there's the voicemail function.
Right.
I can't stand how some people will immediately call you right back.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been happening a lot to me lately where I'll press ignore.
They know you don't answer.
I understand that.
And you're there and listening and it's ringing.
There's a voicemail function.
Right.
Go ahead and leave a message. If you do the immediate callback right after I either don't pick up or press ignore, I'm assuming someone's dying or there's an emergency. But then when I pick up and you say, "So, what are you doing?" You know, that's an abuse of phone privileges.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do the immediate dial back. Immediate dial back should only be reserved for massive emergencies.
Right? I agree.
I support
totally
you.
Agree.
We'll pass that law. Good.
All right. Here's my whole thing. Maybe you have somebody at your work like we have at our work who parties all the time. There's never a minute in her day where she's not doing something, okay? And I think you know who I'm talking about. Every minute of every day, she's got to be doing something, yet she never gets enough sleep. And all she does is complain about, I don't know how I'm going to survive with only 3 hours of sleep. Oh, my God, I'm so tired. You can't believe how little sleep I got because of all the choices that I made yeah. about things that I wanted to go out and do. You can't have – look, Psycho Mike is a guy who's working two jobs. He's working a full-time job on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's a full-time host of Loveline. Do you ever hear Psycho Mike complain about not getting enough sleep?
Nope.
Ever.
He doesn't.
Gets less sleep than anyone I know, but he doesn't say anything about it. You know why? Because it's his choice. Because he's made the decision, hey, this is the way I'm going to live my life. It's nobody else's problem. Hey, you in the other room, stop it.
I wonder who he could be talking about. This is so vague.
I'd like to even go further and say don't complain about being tired, period. Because really, there's a good chance when you're an adult that most of the people in the room at any given point are probably tired anyway. So it's just let's just call it.
Yeah,
let's just call it a truce and everybody not talk about being tired.
None of us are getting sleep.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right. Before we go to the calls at 1-800-520-1067, you get to be Adam Carolla this week in Rage. Lisa, you got one to take us out?
I didn't know we were going around the room.
All right. She doesn't like it when we put her on the spot.
She was not prepared. When cake makes me gain weight.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls when we get back.
Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday and time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right. No Ace Man today. Adam Carolla is on the road. Please check out all of his appearances and terrific podcasts at adamcarolla.com. In the meantime, we go to you. We turn over This Week in Rage to you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Bobby? He's on line 4. The smaller your complaint and the more it annoys you, the happier we are. Bobby, you are on the air and up first this week. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hey.
Ralph, everybody. Okay, check this out. My friends think I'm Rain Man because of this, okay? But I do a lot of paperwork, and when someone puts a number in front of a letter for, like, a business or an apartment, like, they live at number C, that drives me nuts.
Oh, you mean the number sign or the letter number?
Yeah. Letter the number. It's like they'll say, I live at 520 Eastwood, number L.
Oh, I see.
That was not a number. That was a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't complain to anybody about it because they all just think I'm nuts.
Well, it is a crazy thing to get worked up about.
Yeah, I'm with them.
I mean, you're 100% correct and should just keep it to yourself or get over it.
I'm with you 100%,
Bean's the guy that would bring it up.
I totally have your back on that, and I sense your frustration, and I think you're absolutely the right. But the room is right. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. But thank you very much for the call. I hope you feel a little bit better by being able to call in and talk about it on the radio now. Let's try John Line 5, This Week in Rage. You are Adam Carolla. John, hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, man, the people at Subway. What's up with this? Did Subway hire just the angriest people in the world to make your sandwiches? I kid you not. It pisses me off so much I ask the guy for application when he's making my sandwich.
I've never had that problem.
Do you go
to the same one every time and it's the same people?
No, I've been to many different ones, and they make your sandwich almost like it's your wife making your sandwich. They throw everything on it, you know. You ask for olives, the guy puts like 2 olives down like the boss is taking it out of his paycheck. Like, are you kidding me? Is somebody watching you? Can you give me some more olives? And he puts them on there, and he throws them on, and he looks at you. Mustard mayo, they squeeze it on like it's like. We're like, oh man, now I'm gonna go work for Subway.
Oh. All right,
great call, John. Thank you. Let's try David. David is on line 7, joining us on the Kevin Beach Show. David, This Week in Rage, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey guys, to be honest with you, I can't stand what people say. To be honest with you, all the time.
Yeah.
And that's for you, Petros. You say it 10 times every single day.
It can be a crutch, for sure.
Petros.
That is odd, because you would think that most people would be being honest with you all the time anyway, so you don't need to say it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It might be a crutch where you're just trying to waste a little time to get your thoughts together.
Yeah. It is true, though, that if an expression comes along and you decide that you don't like it, all of a sudden you hear it every single place you listen or everything you watch. I mean, for a while, and I think it was because of American Idol with Simon Cowell, was at the end of the day all the time. Everywhere I looked, it was all of a sudden everything was at the end of the day. You just hear an expression so much that it starts to drive you batty. I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah, stop it.
To be honest with you, my complaint is, to make a long story short, because they never do. That's never happening.
Yes.
A, it never happens. You're not making a long story short. And B, they always say that at the beginning of the conversation, which is weird.
Because that's right. It's not the time to now condense facts to make it a shorter story.
They haven't even started the story yet. And they go, to make a long story short. And then they tell a long story. So that drives
Let's
me crazy.
Try Alfredo, 1-800-520-1067, if you want to get on This Week in Rage. Alfredo, I think you're going to find some sympathy from Kevin on this one. Go ahead.
Yep.
Hey, I just hate it when people type with one finger and they smack the keyboard so freaking hard. Like, like, the keyboard doesn't know what he's trying to type. I mean, it gets on my nerves. It gets, you know, it hurts my ears. I want to get the keyboard, smack him in the face. Or
his ears.
Or better yet, you know, use Ralph's death button. Every time they hit it so hard.
I would love that, but I hate to break the news to you, but the death button doesn't work yet. It's not up and running.
What?
The murder button? I thought that was in stores. Are you kidding me?
Well, we need to get the United Nations and commit, you know, make some kind of
rules
where... We're going to make the death button.
I like it. I think getting the United Nations behind it is probably very simple.
They're the right people to kill, by the way. If you want to kill somebody, go to the United Nations. That's what they're there for.
So it's bad enough that they're at a job that you got to use a keyboard and type with one finger. Come on, man. You go online and you learn how to type.
Bean said that I'm going to have some empathy with you because he types so loudly on his computer that there are many times when I have to turn down his microphone a little bit. And then I say afterwards, I go, hey, Bean, you know, we can hear you typing. And he goes, no, you can't.
Well, where I work at, I mean, one of our coworkers types so much when she's typing, I can't hear her talk. Really? Yeah, just type what you're
Depending on the person, that may be a benefit. All right, Alfredo, thank you very much for the call. Brian emails in, what really ticks me off, guys, is the crossing guards who are like 95 years old. They take more time to cross the street than the kids do. These old people are robbing the coffin. Now they're out there hindering traffic because they can't get their old asses back up on the sidewalk. God, I hate them. But at least he wins. He's going to get revenge because they'll be dead soon.
Yeah.
Let's try Warren, line one, 1-800-520-1067. You get to be Adam Carolla for This Week in Rage. Hi, Warren. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. And skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans.
I cannot stand them. You know why? And I talked to some friends, and apparently I might be alone on this, but... It's just, you know, the kids, whatever's in the water, they're getting bigger, and they insist on wearing these smaller pants.
Oh, so that's the problem, is not skinny people wearing skinny jeans, but fat people wearing skinny jeans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah, I got you.
It's like, thank you very much for the call. It's like what do they call those, hip huggers or something that some of the girls wear? They clearly do not have the stomach for them.
And let's not, Warren hit on something right there. It's that it's not just the ladies. Let's not zero in on the ladies.
It's guys too.
A lot of these, like, emo kids, they're pudgy with the man boobs and they're rocking Jared Leto's jeans. And you realize Mr. Leto's earned the right to wear, you know, form-fitting clothes. You can't just
he's got
decide to adopt that
too.
Style. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's do a couple more real quick. This Week in Rage, you are Adam Carolla. This time it's going to be Megan on line two. Hey, Megan, thanks for calling. What's ticking you off today?
Hi. I hate it when people slurp their coffee because they already know it's going to be hot, and it's like...
But that's why they slurp it, because they got to be careful.
Yes.
You don't want to get too much.
Right. But it's...
All right.
It's the noise. It's the noise that drives you crazy?
Yes. Yeah.
So what would you like them to do instead?
Wait until it cools down a little bit longer.
Blow on it for a second and wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Johnny, line three. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's ticking you off?
Oh, man. My roommate chews with his mouth open like a mule.
Damn, that's the worst.
Yes.
I can't even go to a restaurant with the guy. We have to go to a super loud restaurant, and I can't even look him in the face.
Okay. Have you said something to him about it?
Oh, all the time. I almost made him cry about 3 weeks ago because I said, man, it's been a year, and every time I eat with you, you chew with your mouth open and you make an excuse like the bread's too dry. Keep your mouth shut.
Just isn't that something that your mom teaches you
supposed
to chew with
yeah.
your mouth shut when you're like, I don't know, how old, four?
That's what I thought.
But not everyone has parents that care that much. But
right.
I have a more important question, Johnny. How did you almost make him cry by telling him that? I mean, really, that's...
He's a whiner, and I asked him,
Well, cut him loose. He sounds like a bad friend.
Well, I said, how does your girlfriend even deal with that? How do you get girls to go out to dinner with you even more than once?
Right.
And
yeah.
sure enough, we go out to dinner, and she's eating with her mouth open.
That's how you do it. You just find another donkey, and then you're fine.
Wow. I have sympathy for you. Thank you for the call. One more is all we have time for. It's going to be Emily. Emily is on line five. Hey, Emily, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show This Week in Rage. Go ahead.
I work in an office where we all have to make our files and hole punch our files at the top.
Yep.
And nobody can punch their files at 8.5 so that it all lines up when you have to put it in the fastener.
Right.
So then when you have to add paper, you have to add one piece at a time because none of them line up.
So people who don't punch holes in the paper properly.
Right.
There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, if you're the person that has to put it in the notebook, I can understand that. But
you can't stack them up and put them in because now none of the holes match up.
But how hard is it to punch holes?
That's what I
think.
Know.
That's her question.
That's her point.
That's what Emily said. All right. There's a lot of anger
your
out
life's
there.
Your life's a bitch, Emily.
That's what we're letting. All right. Everybody just relax, grab a bowl, and just have a great weekend, okay?
And punch holes correctly, please.
You're listening to The Kevin Mean Show. Radiohead on the way. We also got some Rise Against for you, Alien Ant Farm, and the new one from Bad Religion, too.
When you get these albums on iTunes, do you get the full like CD with the pictures and the sleeves and all that?
Yeah.
The cardboard or whatever it is?
Yeah, the cardboard comes through.
Yeah, they send a jewel case through the air for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the cardboard and the CD. That's how it works on iTunes
your printer.
Now. I think you'll like it very much. All right. This is The Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us this time every hour for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, Ralph, just before we get into that, I want to mention Smokeout Tickets, which we have coming out next.
Sure.
So if you'd like to call in, 1-800-520-1067. Just after the top of the hour, we will have a game. You can win tickets to see Cypress Hill and all those other bands at Smokeout. Back to you.
That's going to be a good show.
It is.
No one will remember it, but it will be a good show. You'll enjoy it while you're there, and then the next day, you'll have no idea what
you happens. Keep it slightly stupid. It's going to be good.
Is it class picture day? Did I not get the memo?
I don't know. Mike's wearing a white dress shirt with a tie, and
I thought
said,
it was class picture day.
He said he had a speaking engagement last night, and that's what he wore, and so he just didn't change. He just slept in his clothes.
So it's not yearbook photos, then?
No.
Well, I didn't want to get
caught. Were you afraid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because then, you know, I get one shot at that.
Yeah, I'm not prepared for that either.
Speaking of Kevin being prepared or not, I want to thank whoever it was who started the Facebook page, Kevin Ryder versus Michael Clark Duncan. If you're on Facebook, you can go to just type in Kevin Ryder and then versus Michael Clark Duncan in the search box, and it will show you the page. Eight people so far like that page. Okay. It's starting to a groundswell. Here's the description of the page. On August 10, 2010, Kevin decided to say hard and ghastly things about Michael Clark Duncan.
All I said was he threw like a girl.
Clearly, these were intense fighting words, but now Kevin is trying to back out while continuing to say horrible things. A fight must happen between these two. Justice will be served. I agree with you, sir, and I appreciate you starting that page.
Ralph,
and we're
make
looking
that
forward
nine
to
nine people like it. Now.
Nine people. Nine. All right, Psycho Mike just
it's on fire.
Signed up as well.
It is definitely a groundswell. It's almost like people caught whiff of the Avengers movie, and now they're just rabid to have it happen. They want to see it so badly they can't wait. That's how people are about Michael Clark Duncan and Kevin. It's like it has to happen now.
The photo of Michael Clark Duncan and Kevin squaring off is Michael Clark Duncan roughing up a woman who someone has superimposed Kevin's face onto
poorly.
And by superimposed, I mean just kind of slapped a picture on the general face region of the woman in the photo.
And that's as close as the fight is going to get, is that photo.
You're mistaken, sir.
I'm not fighting Michael Clark Duncan.
Well, maybe it'll just happen here. Maybe Michael will just show up, and then you'll just fight him or, you know,
whatever. I have to defend myself. I'll throw down.
That's what I'm talking about. It's on.
It's not on.
I heard you guys said you're going to talk to LaQuisha soon about last night's Jersey Shore.
Love it.
Got some good Jersey Shore news for a change. Apparently, the executive producer of Bones has announced that the plans to have The Situation guest star as a murder victim on Bones have been scuttled.
Yes. Oh, is that because people complained?
No. Stephen Nathan, the executive producer of the show, says The Situation is not going to work out. There were so many contractual difficulties with MTV that it just became an impossibility.
You'd think they'd want that.
Sadly, as a result, an actual actor will have to play the role, I think. So
we don't want to see that happening.
That's bad news.
I don't think Situation is a good enough actor to play a corpse, actually.
Well, he plays a guy who gets killed, so he'd have to play a live person first play a corpse, too.
That's out of his range, then.
So. Owen Wilson may have found love again. British tabloids are saying that Owen, who was working on Woody Allen's new movie, is getting quite cozy with one of his co-stars, Rachel McAdams.
Oh! Oh,
that's not right.
Good deal.
She's amazing.
She is so spectacular. They are quite affectionate and cozy on the set. And people saying the sparks are flying between them. See, here's the thing about making a movie. It's summer camp for grown-ups.
Yeah.
You go away to London, where Woody Allen's making this new movie, and you leave your friends and family, and you're on the set 24 hours a day, practically, and you think it's real. You
There's
think
a lot
that's
of downtime,
real love.
Right?
Yeah, you think that's real love, and it's not.
It might be.
No.
However, like Rachel McAdams, wasn't she with Ryan Gosling for a number of years? I mean, that survived well beyond doing a movie together.
Yeah, but that's the exception rather than the rule. Most of these flings you never even hear about. But often these on-set romances fizzle once they leave the intense, pressure-filled, rarefied atmosphere of that set.
Why do you hate love?
I do not hate love.
Okay.
there are
I just love hate
and,
more.
And actresses who have sex with somebody in every movie that they make, right?
Yes. Well, that should be a rule.
Grace Kelly was a notorious whore. The legendary film star Grace Kelly apparently banged every guy she ever did a movie with. And she was all, like, prissy and, like, the Ice Queen, and she became Princess of Monaco and all this stuff, but apparently just a whore.
She got around.
Love it.
Slut.
All these guys are signing up for movies that are terrible because...
That's right. Grace is going to make it.
Did you read the script? No,
it doesn't matter. I'm in.
And Jennifer Aniston has fired back at Bill O'Reilly. I don't know if you've heard about this squabble or not.
Oh, dear God, no.
Jennifer Aniston, of course, talking about her upcoming film, The Switch, where she plays a woman who is getting artificially inseminated in order to have a child.
Okay.
She is a single mother.
Right.
Said in the course of an interview that women don't have to settle with a man just to have a child, which is a perfectly reasonable statement. Bill O'Reilly took that, extrapolated into the fact that he said, Jennifer Aniston and her remarks are destructive to our society. So Jennifer felt obligated to... respond. Of course, the ideal scenario for parenting is obviously two parents of a mature age. And of course, many people dream of finding Prince Charming with fatherly instincts. But for those of us who have not yet found their Bill O'Reilly, I'm just glad science has provided a few other options. So,
Jennifer Aniston and Bill O'Reilly going to be the undercard?
That's right. They're going to start things off for us when you square off against Michael Clark Duncan.
That's not going to happen.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Slattery, one of the stars of Mad Men, plays Roger Sterling on that show. And he may be as good an actor as John Hamm.
He's great. I've loved him for years.
He is funny and he is entertaining. He is 48 years old today. Debbie Mazar of Entourage plays Vince's publicist on that show. She's 46 years old today. And had Danny Bonaduce lived, he would have been 51 years old today. Rest in peace, Partridge. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I know there are a lot of concert tours that are out there not selling a lot of tickets this year. That has been in the headlines. But there are a few that are doing great, and I suspect this is going to be one of them. The Cypress Hill Smokeout 2010 includes Cypress Hill, Incubus, Slightly Stupid, MGMT, and more October 16th at the NAS Event Center, which is just on the western border of Arizona and California. But it's a great place to see a great show. We have tickets for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Rudy Cisneros has joined us here in the studio.
Hey, oh, damn, man.
How are you, man?
Oh, I'm blunted right now.
Really?
My head's low. I got my head right before I came in because I was doing, like, the community service.
Right. What were you doing?
Like, you know, like, what's his name? Dave, King of Mexico, and Alex, they called me. They're like, hey, can you come in and host something?
Right.
So I was like, damn, for sure. So I just made sure I got, like, crazy high, you know, on my way over
here. Well, it's appropriate because we're giving away tickets to the Cypress Hill Smokeout. So what's the game? How are we going to play this one today, Rudy?
Oh, I forgot.
It's Famous Stoners.
Oh, okay, Famous Stoners.
Famous Stoners, yeah.
Guess the famous pothead, then you'll go see.
Or pothead.
The Smokeout Fest, it'll be the best, and you'll smoke a lot of weed.
So, okay, so famous potheads, meaning you're going to be describing a famous person who is known to enjoy the weed, is what's going
like,
on here today.
You know, like musicians or like the actors or whatever, you know, like if they're famous, but they also love Yesca.
Right.
You know, like I'm going to tell you about them, you guess.
I'm pretty sure it's clear.
What's up? Okay.
I'm pretty
sure. Well, let's give it a try. So you go into the drawing for the tickets then if you're able to identify the famous person that Rudy is going to be talking about. We'll take the calls in order, starting with Marcel, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Marcel, you ready to play Famous Pothead with Rudy Cisneros?
Yeah, I am.
All right, listen up, Marcel. This vato's from Texas, and then he moved to Malibu, and he's always telling me that beefs was for dinner, eh? But he never puts his shirt on. Lisa May's always around Malibu. I see his chichis everywhere because
really?
He's like buff, kind of like buff, you know?
All right.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Hang on. You are in the drawing. Well done. Nice job, Rudy.
I used
too,
to look like him when I was in the pen.
You never looked like him.
No, yeah, when I was in the pen.
You never looked like
I was like a shorter McConaughey.
Margarita,
the handlebar mustache.
What did you do, Matthew?
Hi there. You ready? Name that famous pothead. Here's Rudy.
So these two vatos are like heroes to all the stoners. And especially
Cheech and Chong.
Yes, how did you get that?
Congratulations, you are in the drawing. Nice job. Daniel is next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, listen up for Famous Pothead, all right?
Cool, hey, thanks, guys. What's up, Rudy?
Hey, what's up, eh? So
what's
listen up,
man?
I actually smoked weed with this vato one time. He's crazy. He was a natural-born killer. He was a bartender. And most recently, he was in Zombies, like this area where they're all over, and he was like going crazy. Lisa May, his eyes were bonkers and red because he's like always smoking weed. He even eats weed.
Oh, dude!
Really?
Really, Daniel? Killer Zombieland?
Really? Yeah,
I know. Who it
He's
is.
Blanking on the
name.
Dang! Hold on.
That's Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Daniel, you shouldn't have smoked before the game, fool.
Well, I should have waited. Let's go to Shana.
Shana, line four. Shana. Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
What's up, eh? Hey, what are you wearing?
I hope I win.
What are you wearing, Ina?
I'm wearing my brown panties.
Orale, clean.
Oh, that's the right answer. God
listen
bless
up.
Shana.
Listen up. I can tell you're fine, too. Listen.
That's right.
This stoner's got more kids than my Uncle Trigger, and he only made a couple of them with his own pito, a couple. The rest he adopted from, like, all over the place with his hot baby mama.
Oh, are you talking about Brad Pitt?
Yes.
Orale. Nicely done. These questions aren't terribly hard.
I'm hungry. No. I'm hungry.
I'm sure you are hungry. Hang on.
Thank you, Shana. Hang on. You're the direct. By the way, Shana sounds like she might be some competition for Sad Girl. I think you guys had a little bit of a connection going on there,
Rudy. There's a lot of competition for Sad Girl right now because she's getting fat food like the crazy muffin top.
Right.
And she's got the nalgas coming out the back of her jeans, you know. Like
so maybe Shana?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Where are you trying to live?
Steven, hi.
Hello. What's up?
Hi there.
What's happening?
Hey, listen. Listen, this stoner's a girl, and she sucks in Twilight, and she sucks on TV, and she sucks on a bong a lot, too.
Yeah, dude, she's terrible, but god dang it, I can't remember the name.
Oh, no. Another one where you're going to kill yourself.
That one girl from Twilight.
Yes, it's the one girl from Twilight.
Yeah,
that's who we're talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
Her name is...
Oh, why can't I remember that?
She's the fuck one.
Terrible, dude. Why would I know her name?
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think Rudy's right. You people need to not smoke before the game.
No, but like, it's probably better off if you don't know that chick's name. You know what I'm saying?
Good point, yeah. All right, let's go to Sky. Hi, Sky.
Hi, good morning.
Here's Rudy with your question.
All right, listen up.
Okay, awesome.
Hey, listen up, Paina. Hey, where do you dance at, Sky?
That might not be her stripper name. Her name could actually be Sky.
Wait,
Rudy.
Let's let her answer. Where do you dance at?
I actually don't. I work for my dad.
Oh, where does your dad have you dance at?
All right, here's your question.
Hey, this rap group is super dope. They not only make songs about, like, blasting fools, but they make love songs to the sticky weed, like Dr. Green Thumb and Insane in the Brain.
If you don't get this.
Cypress Hell?
All right, yes.
Orale.
Cypress Hell, correct.
All right.
Yay!
All right.
You're in the drawing. We got time for one more. It's going to be David joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Famous potheads. David, welcome. You're on with Rudy. Listen up.
What's going on, man?
All right, listen up, fool. Listen, this vato is always yelling at me when I watch UFC. He's super funny, though. I saw him twice when I snuck into Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Both years, eh?
You snuck in?
Yeah.
Really?
No, because one of my cousins does, like, the security.
Oh, I see.
UFC? He's always yelling at you?
Yes.
That's right. And he's funny also? He's a comedian?
A comedian?
Are you kidding?
This is not happening.
Wow. We have tapped into the actual... What?
What? Damn, I know this guy. I really
Wait, how did Rudy get on the phone? Wasn't he just in the studio a minute ago?
All right, we had this...
No, listen, I told you before the game, I'm like, trust me, when you're dealing with stoners, there's no questions too easy.
Did we had him on yesterday?
We did. It was Joe Rogan who we were looking for. Yes. Funny comedian, that UFC announcer. All right. Still, plenty of people in the drawing. Let's find out who is going to go see Smokeout. By the way, tickets for this show go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. if you want to buy tickets. But who's going to win them right now, Lisa May?
Our winner, Shana.
Shana!
Yeah!
Shana!
Wow.
I see a date, October 16th, between two very happy young Mexicans.
Yeah, I'm going to wreck that hoe.
Guess the famous pothead. That was our game. Now get it lit and take a hit of that sweet, sweet Mary Jane.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Should you go see The Expendables in theaters today? We talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin and Randy Couture in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They say yes. Find out what Ralph has to say in the Movie Beat next hour because it's Friday. Speaking of Fridays, LaQuisha, how you doing, girlfriend?
I could never been better.
I'm glad to hear that. Always great to talk to you. Jersey Shore was on Thursday. It's on Thursday nights on MTV. You watch every week, so we don't have to. How was last night's episode?
Last night was amazing because we got to see the Jersey Shoreites at work.
Okay.
Which you don't see very often.
Wait, you don't mean at a job?
Yeah.
What?
Remember last season they were working at the T-shirt shop?
Sure.
Well, this season they're working at a gelato store. Gelato is Italian for ice cream.
Right.
Well,
okay.
So they literally it translates to overpriced sweet treats.
But it's not like the cameras follow them and they happen to have jobs. This is something that MTV has them do so that they can film it for the show, right?
That's right. They're only making $10,000 an episode. They got to make some pocket money somehow.
That's true.
Right.
So Vinny, he starts his first day at the gelato shop and he is very excited. He's the only one in the house that's looking forward to the job.
Whatever job that is given to me, I will make the best of it, and I'll skill it. Plus, it's scooping ice cream. Chicks love ice cream.
Chicks love ice cream.
Chicks do love ice cream.
Unfortunately, they don't like greasy Italian guys.
Hmm.
So that's a problem for him.
Yeah.
But he will skill it when he does his job. Now, Ronnie and Vinny both decide they need a haircut. So they have to find a place that specializes in the kind of haircut that they like. And the only one they could find was in an African-American urban neighborhood.
Finally, the heavens have answered, and I found a barbershop in Miami.
Straight edge Miami.
Told you I needed to come to the hood to get a haircut.
Let me give you a little piece of advice, white boy.
Uh-oh.
The brothers, first of all, don't want you in their barbershop to begin with.
Right.
They're just doing it because they need the money and there are cameras on them so they can't murder you. We can call it the hood. We don't like it when young, stupid Italian white boys come in and start calling our neighborhood the hood.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
I can imagine that.
So take your freshly haircut ass out the shop and don't come back again or you're going to be stuck in the neck with a straight razor.
LaQuisha, did you call in on Dr. Laura's show this week? I have to ask.
I did not.
All right.
That was not you. Okay, all right, back to the show.
Now, Vinny, he makes a pretty amazing observations, especially when it comes to Jenny and her boobs that defy gravity. She was wearing a shirt last night that was basically just two pieces of string covering her nipples.
Excellent.
At a nightclub, and everybody noticed.
Jenny's definitely defy gravity. I think Albert Einstein should come back and rewrite his laws of physics and work it around Jenny's.
I think so.
That's a good point. That is a good point. I hadn't thought
of that. The theory of boobativity.
Yes.
Now, Ronnie, I don't know if you mentioned last week, but he is creeping on all the girls at the club. And then he comes home and he gets in bed with Sammy. And that ain't right.
But that's how he rolls.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
True. But even the the situation thinks that is out of line. If the situation thinks you are acting inappropriately towards women, you may really have a problem.
I'm actually starting to feel bad for Sam. This is the second night Ronnie has hooked up with some girls and then going home and sleeping with Sam. I don't know how Sammy does not know. I think she has an idea, but she doesn't want to believe it. It goes back to the day when you thought the Tooth Fairy was, you know, alive.
What? The Tooth Fairy's dead?
No,
oh, I'm sorry, LaQuisha.
No, he was just, that's just an example.
I think they would have covered that in the news had he died. I think he's still alive. Well, here's the thing about the Jersey Shore. It not only is wildly entertaining, but it also is educational. And I think the Jersey Shore shows itself as a cautionary tale for the dangers of drinking too much alcohol. Because listen what happened to poor Vinny the morning after they got back from the club.
Waking up this morning is rough. I got Snooki next to me. I don't even know how she got there.
Ew.
And I see my clothes all over the place. Like, dude, what the f*** did I do last night? I'm like, did I bang Snooki last night? Did I do the unthinkable?
No.
Tell us no.
Please no.
No. LaQuisha? LaQuisha?
The horror. Oh, the horror.
Is it possible to drink that much?
I think apparently.
Wow.
But that's the thing. He don't know whether he did or not. So, who's to say? It doesn't stop him from going out the next night and getting drunk all over again, though.
Sure.
Because it's time for MVP night. MVP night.
MVP night.
What's that, LaQuisha?
I'll let Vinny explain.
It's MVP nights, huh?
And...
MVP.
It just so happens that our initials are MVP, Mike, Vinny, Paulie, MVP, and we are the most valuable players in MIA.
Take that, LeBron James.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
They sure like them.
Wow.
They're the most valuable players in MIA. Wow. And they go out to the club and they bring back some girls to the house that are ugly. How are you going to be the most valuable player when you're bringing back the most ugly women?
And in Miami, there are a lot of hot chicks.
Yeah. Maybe can't find one, apparently.
Oh, no.
Even the situation recognizes it when they're all in the hot tub.
At one particular point, I remember I was in the jacuzzi, and I finally put some water on my face, and I was like, we got grenades, man. And I'm looking at Paulie like, do you know we're in midst of grenades right now? Do you know we're at the zoo?
Yeah.
They're in midst of grenades.
Yeah, they are.
M-I-S-T.
They
midst
are.
Midst of grenades.
Right.
Shut up, situation. Well, the next day he's got to go work at the gelato shop, and things are kind of slow, so the situation takes it upon himself to drum up some business.
The gelato spot was a little slow, so I'm going to just step up a little bit. I'm going to stand right in the front of the store, shirt off, bringing the clients, the customers, the women, babies, dogs, everybody.
Nothing makes me want to eat ice cream more than a sweaty, greasy Italian guy with his shirt off in front of the store.
Yeah.
Isn't that some kind of health code violation?
I would think so, yeah.
That'd make me not want to eat nothing.
I like, though, his confidence that it's not only going to bring in humans, but also animals.
Anything. All things will be attracted to the situation.
Right.
He bring in crabs and fleas and all kinds of critters. Well, next week, we're going to see what happened between Sammy and Ronnie, because Sammy finds out that Ronnie's been creeping on the other girls in the nightclub.
Oh, that's not going to go well.
You know how he finds out? The girls in the house write her an anonymous letter.
Oh, great.
Where could that letter have come from?
Where did it come from?
They're like secret agents on this show.
Can't wait, LaQuisha. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Let's talk about the Expendables, shall we?
Let's do.
Okay.
Go to KevinAB.com, by the way, if you'd like to see a video that Jimmy Kimmel put up on his site where he puts himself in the Expendables.
Oh, he's so funny. It's unbelievable. I don't know how – I mean, we know how he does it because he's got a very popular late-night show, but it's – and his ideas are so funny that people love working with him. But he's in the movie. You see him in the room with Randy Couture, with Terry Crews, and
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren is in it, and they're all in there doing an Expendables-type adventure, and it is hilarious. You have to go to KevinAB.com if you have not watched this, and it will do nothing but whet your appetite for the Expendables movie, which we've been looking forward to for a long time, and finally comes out today.
And when we were in San Diego for Comic-Con, we got a chance to talk to a couple of the stars.
It promises to be the best action movie of the summer, maybe the best action movie of all time, ladies and gentlemen, talking about The Expendables. Stop me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but I understand Sylvester Stallone wrote and stars in the movie. Is that
That's
right?
That's correct, yes.
Jason Statham?
Yes.
Bruce Willis?
Check.
Governor Schwarzenegger?
Yep.
Jet Li? Mickey
yep.
Rourke?
Yep.
Dolph Lundgren?
Sure.
Terry Crews?
Yes.
And how about the guys who are sitting right here in front of us,
nope.
ladies and gentlemen?
No,
I think they're
in it.
I think
they are in it.
Randy Couture, Steve Austin. How are you guys?
Good. How are you guys?
Good morning. Good morning.
We can't believe this is real, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, but from the minute this thing was rumored, I'm sure the world thought, well, it's impossible to get that many guys in one movie, right?
I don't know about Steve, but I couldn't believe it was real either.
So when they came to you, it was an easy answer.
Yeah, there was no question.
And guys like you, I would imagine, just being macho guys, the chance to just hang out with Sylvester Stallone. I mean, that alone has got to be a dream.
That had a definite cool factor to it. I remember when I heard about the movie, I was in South Texas hanging out at my ranch, and I heard about the Expendables being put together. And then, alas, all the Expendables were cast, but all was not lost. And a chance with a meeting with Sly at his office there in Beverly Hills, and you know, met the guy. We hit it off like we'd known each other for 10 years, and the guy offered me the job on the spot, and I took the job on the spot. And it was a thrill working with Sly, first of all, because I grew up watching everything he did. And then to work with the rest of the cast and to actually fight Randy Couture and come out alive was a big deal for me.
Yeah, you don't often get a chance to see the UFC and the WWE guys going at each other at the same time.
You know what, though? But we could sell some tickets if we ever did it. But like I say, hey, I'm a big fan of Randy and his fight career. But I tell everybody I was glad I was fighting him on the movie set and not in the octagon.
Now, you guys are fighting because which one of you is good and which one of you is bad?
Well, it's all a matter of perspective, I suppose.
Who are you ranking?
I was one of the Expendables.
All right.
And
good guy.
Yeah. And Steve was, yeah, definitely the antagonist in this movie.
How tough is it? I mean, look, Sly's written some great scripts. He's talented at it, but there's a lot of juggling involved to have enough for that many guys to do in one movie, right? I mean, it's got to be fairly intricate to make it all work.
Well, I was there for a lot of my, you know, obviously my coverage, and my boss in the movie was Eric Roberts, and I'm not extensively dialogue heavy, but, you know, from Randy, obviously he's going to have a different point of view on that than I.
Well, I think that was the thing. I think Sly did a great job of kind of giving everybody their moment in the movie. We all kind of have our own specialties, both in real life and in the movie, and we bring our own audiences, and he wanted to kind of spread it out and make sure everybody had their moment.
What is your nickname, and what's your specialty?
My nickname is Toll Road.
Toll Road.
That's my name in the movie.
And they're going with that? That's the final? That's the
Yeah, Toll Road. You're going to get past me, you're going to have to pay.
Oh, I like that. How about you, Steve?
I am Dan Payne. Dan Payne. P-A-Y-N-E. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Pun intended.
We mentioned Mr. Stallone, who directed and wrote the movie. You guys have a fight scene that you won. Tell us about that, because somebody went to the hospital.
The one with me and Sly?
Yeah.
You know, that was an interesting 2 days at the office, you know, because I was in the fight camp learning to fight with those guys in New Orleans. I mean, sweating my ass off. And then we roll on set, and we go to do the movie, and the first thing that happens is a gigantic headbutt. Well, when you headbutt Sly, it was a double headbutt, but it's your fault or my fault. So, anyway, it was a very intense fight, and I think speaking about all of the fights, everybody put forth their maximum effort because everybody wants their piece to kind of stand out, and certainly myself and Sly wanted to do that same thing. And the thing I learned about working with Sly is intensity, because for 2 days straight, the lead actor, the writer, and the director is telling me, "Steve, hit me harder. You know, bring it. We want to make this real." And so we did, and he ended up in the hospital. But
fractured? Said, not that hard.
Well, when that guy is telling you to whip his ass, you whip his ass.
Was it overstated in the press, or did you really break something?
You know, when I think of a broken neck coming from my background, I just think death and devastation, okay? But I think it was a case of him being in so many movies, doing so much physicality, that I think that the fight did take its toll on him. But he weathered the storm, and I think probably bothered him for the rest of shooting, but it was something he got fixed later. Yeah. But definitely, it was a real deal for him.
That's the voice of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Randy Couture is here, too, on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the Expendables. Would it kill you to put a chick in the movie?
There's a couple chicks in
are
the
there?
Movie. Yeah.
They're manly chicks. But
how much
their charisma is going to appreciate that.
Sorry, I wasn't there on her coverage. My bad.
How many of these guys were you all meeting for the first time? Because, you know, for those of us who aren't in your business and macho guys like you, we like to think you all live together in a big mansion somewhere. But have you met guys like Statham before and Jet Li and those guys?
I had. My first movie experience was Cradle to the Grave with Jet Li. And I had a fight scene with him. And that was kind of the eye-opener for me, kind of the process of making movies and created the intrigue and interest in pursuing it further. I'd met Jason through fighting. You know, he's a big fight fan. He comes to a lot of the fights. And I'd met him a couple times there.
Everybody else has to learn to fight for a movie like this. You know how to fight. You have to back off or fight differently, right?
Yeah, I have to learn how not to fight,
right?
How not to actually hit guys. And that first movie experience with Jed, I basically ran him over. I was supposed to hit him with a right hand, and his whole thing in the movie was he kept his hand in his pocket and dodged everything, got out of the way. Well, he didn't get out of the way. And so everybody freaked out because I laid him out. And I didn't hit him, but I literally ran him over.
It was just instinct.
Well, I threw the punch right from my cheek, launched into it, and he's used to people winding up. And so he could have gotten out of the way, but he didn't.
All right, we're almost out of time here. I haven't seen the movie yet, so forgive me if this is a dumb question, but do enough of you survive for there to be still more Expendables, or is this going to be it?
Pass on that one. As the villain of the movie, what do you think?
Okay. All right, new villain next time.
All the expendable survival.
Okay,
put it that
right.
way.
We can't tell you how excited we are about hanging out with you guys here, and also looking forward to the Expendables opening everywhere. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys, very much.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:54.
Look, I like Miss Cleo as much as the next guy, but it's time for us to deport her, right? She's got to be stopped, this woman.
Is she
crazy
illegal?
Broad is, or whatever. I don't care. Deport her anyway. Deport her for being annoying. Wait till you hear it. You're not going to believe what Miss Cleo did last night. The tantrum she threw in public,
I heard.
You're not going to believe. Am I right, Ralph?
There's
I'm not overselling it, right?
There's a little Cleo-tude happening lately. I don't know if you guys know. Absolutely. A little Cleo-tude.
That's not good.
Nope.
So anyway, we're going to have a very difficult decision to make. Is it worth keeping somebody this annoying around because her boobs are that good? That's the question on the table. We'll tell you what's going on in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Speaking of annoying, Christina Applegate is getting an ass full of paparazzi. See, she's pregnant, and she says now that her hormones are kind of out of whack, she hates the paparazzi because they're also interested in catching her baby bump in their photos, so they keep dogging her now more than ever in her life.
So annoying.
And it's a touchy time for most women anyway.
Right.
And then you got a bunch of people chasing after you with cameras and stuff. Must make it doubly as hard.
Yeah.
Says she hates the paparazzi, and she's constantly fighting off the urge to go all Sean Penn on them.
I'd like to see that.
Maybe she could do it as Spicoli and make it all comedy.
How dare you?
Kevin suggested. Kelsey Grammer, speaking of babies, won't admit that his new girlfriend is pregnant with his child. However, they didn't stop the father of Kelsey's girlfriend, Alan Walsh, from telling the tabloids that the baby is great news, despite the fact I've never met Kelsey, he said.
Wow.
That really is great news. When your daughter gets knocked up by some guy she just started dating who's 30 years older than she is, and you never met him, that's the best news a father can get.
They're not married.
He could be older than her father, Kelsey.
Probably around the same age. Apparently, Kelsey is still in the midst of a divorce from his longtime wife, Camille. Has four other children, by the way, from prior relationships.
Wow. Right.
So this would be number five, and I guess he's holding off on announcing the good news until that divorce is finalized.
There's no possibility that Kelsey's happy about this news, right?
Nope.
None.
But there's no way to stop it from
there's
happening.
There's got to be some kind of medical breakthrough.
No, Kevin, there's no scientific technique that
or you can,
can keep human beings from procreating.
How have we not come up with that yet?
I guess no one ever thought about it. I guess scientists are busy people.
We could put a man on the moon, but we can't prevent getting pregnant.
That's what I'm saying. They got the priorities. First, they got to get a man to the moon. Then they got to cure the common cold. I mean, they got a lot on their plate. I think having babies is probably low down on the totem pole.
Hmm.
You know what I can't wait for is when this relationship goes sour and the woman turns into Oksana and then Kelsey turns into Mel. Imagine what his tapes are going to sound like because he's so smart and so articulate. It's going to be hilarious to hear his rage tapes when he calls his baby mama.
Oh, for God's sakes, Katie. The least you could have done was come to the room before moral sex on me before the jacuzzi.
Because exactly. I deserve it.
Won't be quite the same.
No, it won't. Just want to give you an update. There are now 139 fans on the Kevin Ryder versus Michael Clark Duncan Facebook page.
I'm not fighting.
Once again, if you're on Facebook,
not gonna happen.
Feel free to go to the Kevin Ryder, that's R-Y-D-E-R,
not gonna happen.
Versus Michael Clark Duncan, that's Clark with an E at the end.
Isn't going
to
happen.
There's a page there dedicated to the upcoming fight between Kevin and Michael.
That's
so
bullshit.
We're trying to get as many fans on that page as possible. Look, if Facebook could get Betty White to host Saturday Night Live, I certainly think it's capable of getting Kevin and Michael in the ring together.
It's not going to happen.
What about your honor, Kevin? Don't you feel some sort of obligation as a role model to your children to say, hey, I called the dude out, right. And now I'm just going to run away from it?
I mean, back my words. I stand behind what I say.
Bean, if I was
I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
If I was interested in honor, would I still be alive? Honestly.
What are we hearing from Mr. Duncan or Mr. Clark Duncan, however he prefers to be referred to? What are we hearing from his camp, Ralph?
MCD is, we're still in works. We're still in the works with
his
people.
Why are you trying to make this happen, Ralph?
We're still in the works with his people, but it's looking very promising. That's all I'll say at this point. It's all I really can say contractually, but we are getting closer every day.
I can tell you why Ralph's trying to make it happen, because it's a poor reflection on him to be associated with a show that will call somebody out like that and basically taunt them and force the issue and then turn away from it.
That's what I'm saying. You have to.
Makes us all look bad.
You're obligated to back your play.
Oh, you guys are the best.
And I think in the long run, you're going to thank us, Kevin, because you may be a little hesitant now, but you'll feel much better about yourself and yourself as a man if you finally man up and face.
Even if you get beaten in the ring, at
least
you can.
We're not saying you will.
Of course
not. It's not a foregone conclusion.
Thank you.
You might win. You might win. You and Michael Clark Duncan are virtually twins anyway. But if you go in there and let's say you slip up somehow and you lose, at least you'll have the honor of having shown up for the fight.
Right.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Yes.
I think we should have Dick Clark do the announcing by ringside, by the way.
Why doesn't he just fight?
We'll have Harold Letterman and Dick Clark and Jim Lampley will do the color commentary.
Yeah.
Kevin Ryder has until the 12th round. Jim!
Harold Letterman will say. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Slattery, very talented actor from Mad Men, is 48 years old today. You know when I first noticed John Slattery was? He played Carol Vesey's boyfriend on Ed. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The series
he sure
Ed.
Did. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Carol Vesey was the girl from Modern Family. What's her name? The blonde.
Yeah, Julie,
Julie
Bowens.
Julie Haggerty.
Bowen.
Julie
yes,
Bowen.
Right.
Bowen.
Yes. That's right.
He was her girlfriend on that show.
All right.
And he was on Ally McBeal for all those seasons, too.
That's I remember Sex him from the City, Tim.
He's a very busy right. man.
Identified.
Never saw him on Sex in the City, but apparently he was there. Debbie Mazar from Entourage is 46 years old today. You know where I first noticed Debbie Mazar?
Really don't
was
care.
Was in Goodfellas. She was in Goodfellas. She played okay. Ray Liotta's Guillaume.
Don't care.
His girlfriend yeah. The friend of his girlfriend.
Who gives a damn?
I'm just saying, that's one of the first places
I think John Slattery saw that movie.
I think he did.
That. I don't care.
Danny Bonaducci is 51 years old today. You know where I first noticed Danny Bonaducci?
Probably the Partridge Family.
Probably the Partridge Family.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Miss Cleo.
Hello.
Let's give Miss Cleo the benefit of the doubt because she is family, and let's assume she's not a tard, okay? Because I've heard secondhand about this story. I haven't heard it directly from Miss Cleo herself. So let's give her the opportunity to explain what went down last night, and then we can advise on what's next.
Okay, I haven't heard this story yet.
I was at a screening last night of Eat, Pray, Love, and I'm sitting in my seat, and right before the movie starts, a security guard comes up to me and says, "Ma'am, I'm going to need you to turn off your phone."
Right.
And I said, okay, I put it on silent. To be honest with you, I'm fasting. It's for religious purposes. I just need the alarm. It'll vibrate. Nothing will happen. He said...
Wait, explain that to me.
What? Okay, so the screening was last night at 7 p.m. Right. I can break my fast at 7:45.
Oh,
I
see.
So I needed something. I don't have a watch. Exactly. I needed something
to tell
me.
Because it's Ramadan, right? And you're not allowed to eat during the daylight hours?
Correct. From sunrise to sunset, you can't eat.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So he says, well, you've got two options. You can go eat outside with your phone, or you can stay in here and turn your phone off.
Right.
I said, no, I'm not turning it off. It's on vibrate. It's not going to bother anyone, but I need to know when I can break my fast. And he said, get out or sit in here. And then I said, no. And then I said, this is discrimination. You're discriminating against me. And then he walked away.
Dear.
It what? You what? What?
He walked away.
What?
Of course he did.
He should have thrown you out.
Because you yell out, you know, religious persecution. And
are
they
you
freak
kidding?
Out.
And if there's one thing we've learned is you don't want to tick off a Muslim. We know that. So why not get a watch then? Why do you have to have your phone? By the way, let me back up one additional step here. The reason he wants your phone off is the same reason he wants everybody's phone off. It's because the movie's not out and he's afraid of it being pirated, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
That's the point,
or
I imagine.
Or annoying other people.
Yeah, but in what regular movie? It has to be the pirating because in a regular movie, you don't have security guards coming up and saying, hey, turn your phone off. No, you don't.
Well, maybe not security guards,
but
you have
to announce it at the beginning of the movie.
You should turn off your phone during a movie. That should happen.
Okay.
And then if you want to get up and go out and check what time it is, cool. You really?
You threw a tantrum because you wanted to be able to see the clock, basically.
Correct.
So that you could start eating as soon as possible.
Correct.
Miss Cleo,
did you have a pile of food in front of you just ready to go?
I did. I had my food with me.
What time do you expect to break your fast? You clearly know what time sunset is during Ramadan, so you know when to eat, right?
Correct.
What time did you think you could break your fast? What time were you allowed to start eating last night?
7:45 last night. And the movie started at 7.
Okay, you couldn't guesstimate 45 minutes in. Hey, I guess it's time to start eating.
Not in the what middle of Eat, Pray, Love.
What happens if you start eating at 7:44 versus 7:48? Nothing's going to happen.
And you'll never know the difference.
Why should you eat after the goddamn movie?
That's a great
question.
Because
I've been fasting all day.
Yeah, you'll probably die. You're right. No. If you don't eat at 7:45, you will probably die.
No, but I was hungry.
Well, then don't go to the movie.
Why? Because I'm fasting? That's stupid.
But here's the thing. You get a privilege of going to an advanced screening of a movie because you work here, and you have to adhere to the rules of the people who are inviting you to that screening. You didn't pay $20 to go sit in a movie theater and eat your popcorn. No. You've been invited as a professional courtesy because you work on the station to go to the screening.
By the way, even had she paid, she should have been kicked out. She should have been thrown out because she won't turn off her phone. You should have been thrown out.
Oh, well.
How do you then decry religious persecution? It's just insult to injury.
Well, yeah, that was a little too far, but that, whatever.
That's a little bit of a cheap shot. Okay, let me ask you this, Ms. Cleo. What would have been the downside of you turning off your phone and then when you felt like it had been 45 minutes to an hour, getting up and walking out of the lobby, turning your phone on and seeing if it was 7:45 yet?
Because I didn't want to keep going out and coming back. I think that's more disturbing, going out and coming back and going out and coming back. And
how
I was in
many
the middle
times do you have to go out and come back in? You're going to go every minute?
If I don't know when 45 minutes is from the movie started, it's going to be annoying to anyone sitting around me.
You could guess an hour pretty easily.
Yeah.
You know that Muslims for thousands of years have not had alarm clocks to let them know when it's time to eat.
They also didn't have movie theaters.
Oh, Cleo.
Get us, you know, a sundial or whatever it is you need to work with.
In the theater,
in
right?
In the theater. Okay.
All right. All right. We weren't planning on taking calls, but Art is on line one, and I think you'll be surprised by what he has to say. Art, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling in, dude.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
I'll get Ms. Cleo's back on this one. First of all, I went to school with a guy that was Muslim.
Right.
And that's a tough time. You know, not eating.
Right.
It's rough.
Okay, but so hold on a second. Did someone force her to go to a movie?
No, well, but why does my...
I don't know why she went to the movie.
The answer is no. No one forced her.
Force her not to wear a watch? How easy is that?
I never wear watches anymore.
How about an hourglass? How about an hourglass? Your people like sand. How about an hourglass? Having to watch all the sand trickle out, and when it gets to the bottom, it's time.
By the way, how is my phone bothering you, Lisa, who, A, wasn't in the movie last
night? Doesn't matter. Those are the rules.
And nobody saw it go off.
The people invited you to screening said these are the rules. No cell phones are on during the screening.
Okay, last night probably wasn't the best time to keep my phone on, but in a regular circumstances, like a regular movie, I don't think it's a problem.
Well, we're not talking about a regular movie. We're talking about last night and how you behaved and what the rules were.
Okay.
They told you have to turn the phone off. And you said, religious persecution!
That was
religious persecution!
Art, thank you for the call. Let's try Gabriel. Gabriel is on line three. He wants to weigh in as well. Gabriel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you say?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hi.
First of all, I got Miss Cleo's back on.
Yeah!
This. Wait a minute!
People are calling in.
But why?
Because she's fasting. All right, out of curiosity, you're fasting and you're going to watch a movie about eating?
Yeah, it does seem like you're torturing yourself.
That's a
true.
Good point.
Yeah, it does.
But couldn't she wear a watch or something?
But Gabriel, why can't she wear a watch? Or why can't she? Everybody knows how long 45 minutes to an hour is, even if you don't know exactly. Why couldn't she step outside and check the time and then go back in and eat if she wanted to?
Well, I mean, she's watching the screening, you know. She doesn't want to be going in and
out.
Well,
she can just guess. You can guess an hour.
I don't know.
She can't
spell hour. Maybe she can't guess it.
Look, there are other people in the theater. That's the point. And they don't want it pirated, and they don't want you to annoy other people.
This is all about choices. You chose to go to the screening. You're choosing to practice Ramadan. You're making all these choices, and you don't want to be inconvenienced by your choices.
But my fasting isn't affecting anyone.
It isn't. You're right. Your fasting isn't affecting anyone. But you having your cell phone is affecting someone.
It,
and they told you not to put it, to leave it on, to turn it off.
And then did you really go to religious persecution? Did you really say something?
You're discriminating against my religion because I'm trying to practice, like, I'm viewing a religious, what, I don't remember what I said last night, but
religious persecution.
No, I didn't yell religious persecution. I said this is a religious thing.
Right.
You got to have some understanding.
Yeah. It's the religion of Miss Cleo doesn't want to be inconvenienced.
Let's take Renee real quick. Here she is on line eight, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Renee. Please help us.
Well, I have to say, first it's she, and it's like in everything else, it's the majority bowing down to minority. He never should have walked off.
The security
because
guard.
Rules are rules. Right. The rules are rules. She should have turned her phone off. It's her option not to eat. It's her option to go to the movies. If she didn't want to abide by the rules, she shouldn't have gone and she should stay home.
I'm with you, Renee.
Thank you.
Tell it, sister.
It's Cleo. Honestly.
Look, that's
you can't
to
do
one.
Everything you want sometimes.
I don't do everything
you gotta
I
make
want.
Choices.
I did. I made a choice to go to the movie, and I made a choice to fast yesterday.
And you made a choice to ignore the rules and say, I'm going to do this by threatening someone with discrimination.
So, Ms. Cleo, do you think the announcement should have been at the beginning of the movie, welcome to Eat, Pray, Love. We hope you enjoy the screening tonight. Everyone, please turn off your phones unless you're Muslim. Is that really? Essentially, that's what you're asking.
For our Muslim friends, we've got a full buffet.
No, but I
swarthy treats.
I also wonder, was wondering how he picked me. I mean, not. I don't know how he wasn't going up to anyone else. Like, I don't understand.
You know
why
they had their phones off?
No, there were tons of people with their phones out. Actually, two people sitting next to me were tweeting. Oh my god, I'm about to see Eat, Pray, Love.
I think he wanted to meet you because of your enormous cans, but then when he met you and learned of your personality, he realized, yes, I need to get the hell out of this room myself.
Wow, what was I thinking? I'm going to turn the hell around.
No woman's boobs are worth putting up with that.
He's not saying that you couldn't pray.
Right.
He's not
denying your ability to practice your religion.
Right. He's saying that you can't know exactly when you can eat.
And to be honest, I was really calm with him the first time. I was like, look, dude, I understand, like, you've got rules, but it's just a personal thing.
They don't apply to me because I'm Cleo. Right. We get that. We understand
but
that.
But I understand you have rules, but they're for other people. Don't you know right. who I am? I'm Muslim.
I didn't say that.
But we're saying you could have turned off your phone just as well and still, you know, known relatively close when your fast was over, when you could eat. And it wouldn't have conflicted.
We're out of time. Clearly, there's only one way to solve this, and that's that now Cleo has to fight Michael Clark Duncan, too.
Yes! Two, no, alone! Alone, right? Come on, who's with me?
Two.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Everybody take your cell phones out. Turn them off, please.
No!
Because it's time for the movie
beat. Religious discrimination!
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Big, 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 big Hollywood weekend this weekend. Three major motion pictures that appeal to people of all ages, all walks of life. All different kinds of movies. Something for everybody this weekend. Pretty good mixed bag of cinematic treats.
Tell me about Eat, Pray, Love.
Let's take a look at the first one. Eat, Pray, Love, Kevin.
Yes!
Your film, Eat, Pray, Love. Of course, based on the wildly popular book purchased by cat ladies everywhere. And now Julia Roberts stars as Elizabeth Gilbert.
What does she do, Ralph?
She travels around the world, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Doing what?
Eating.
Uh-huh.
Praying.
Right.
Loving.
Okay.
That's what she does.
She's Bally.
Thank you, Doto.
All right.
Here's a scene from Eat, Pray, Love where Julia Roberts is in Italy with her girlfriend.
Right.
And they are enjoying some of the local cuisine.
I'm in love. I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
You look like you're breaking up with pizza. What's the matter?
I can't. I mean, you can't. This is Pizza Margherita in Napoli. It is your moral imperative to eat and enjoy that pizza.
I want to, but I've gained like 10 pounds. I mean, I've got this right here in my tummy. This, to call, what's the word for it?
A muffin top.
Listen. We don't need Julia Roberts encouraging women to eat pizza, okay?
Oh, wow.
Especially the women who are going to go see this movie. You don't want the message from the screen coming off saying, no, girls, eat up. Eat all the pizza you want. Not what we need. We need Julia Roberts to... Look, Julia Roberts doesn't look like that because she eats pizza every day. She looks like that because she's in the gym 8 hours a day while her nannies are watching the kids and she's eating a sprig of parsley and a Tic Tac.
That's true. That's been verified. That's
Come
science.
Come on. You know what happens? Julia Roberts up there saying, oh, eat the pizza. Come on, eat some more pizza. And then Cleo's got to look at her phone because it's 7:45 and she hasn't had an entire pizza yet. And when are the cupcakes getting here? I probably won't go see this movie.
Really?
But I do like Julia Roberts and I do like Javier Bardem. Is there any chance that it's a good film, Ralph?
The world may never know.
Okay.
Because no one will ever see it.
I will tell
Lisa
you on
will
Monday.
See it.
Yeah.
There are chick flicks that are good.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one doesn't seem like one of those, but...
Look, this is like they went into a laboratory and they said, how can we get women into the theaters? Let's combine Julia Roberts and a lot of eating.
Uh-huh.
And bingo! Love. Yeah, the love is secondary.
Yeah.
It's more about the eating. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Now we're talking.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Ramona, the lovely Ramona. Michael Cera is Scott, who falls head over heels in love with her. There only is one small problem. In order to date Ramona, Scott has to work his way through her past relationships. Here's Ramona explaining things to Scott.
If we're going to date, you may have to defeat my seven evil exes.
You have seven evil ex-boyfriends?
Seven evil exes, yes.
And I have to fight?
Defeat.
Defeat your seven evil exes if we're going to continue to date?
Pretty much.
So what you're saying right now is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Cool.
Michael Cera.
Okay. I love
Michael
him.
Cera. Yeah. In the Michael Cera story.
Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I love her. She's so adorable. Edgar Wright, though, is really the attraction to this film for me. He is an amazing director. He's the guy who gave you Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Brilliant director, and the visuals combined with the story and the actors in this thing makes Scott Pilgrim a slam dunk. It was the buzz of Comic-Con, really, when we were down there in San Diego. Everybody was talking about this film. And they're also talking about this little gem, The Expendables.
Oh, my.
Yes.
The Expendables. Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li. Just about every badass in Hollywood is in this movie. What's it about? It doesn't matter.
Are there explosions?
Are there mercenaries and handguns and knives and explosions? Yes. There are aplenty. Here's a scene where Stallone leads his gang of Expendables into the bad guys' secret headquarters, and they're deciding how they're going to kill him. How should we take him out? Who are you going to take? Here's the scene.
Drop your guns!
I'll take the four on the left.
Why don't you take the two on the right and leave the rest alone?
You should take the two on the right. Not that fast anymore.
Anything faster is light.
We'll see.
Bullets go faster than blades.
Bring me money! Here! Now!
You want the money? Go get it. What's that?
In a text.
Get out!
He's getting a text right in the middle of the game, right before they get the firefight.
Don't you want to see a sequel to The Expendables where they team up with the cast from Eat, Pray, Love and they make one movie out of both of them? Wouldn't that be awesome?
The only thing faster is light.
That's what he says about himself.
Yeah.
Bullets are faster than blades.
The only thing concerns about this movie, Stallone may have lost his touch when it comes to screenwriting.
Yeah.
Stallone has given us some of the coolest names in motion picture history. Rocky Balboa. Mason Dixon, Union Kane, Apollo Creed, Tommy Gunn, Clubber Lang.
Sure.
The name he gave himself in this movie? Barney Moss.
No, really?
That's your accountant.
Barney?
That's your accountant. That's not an expendable. I wanted a cool name, like, Flamethrower Jones or something, you know?
Barney.
But that's the only thing I could find wrong with this film. That's my pick, obviously, for this weekend, The Expendables. Smoke them if you got them, boys. We're going in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
These are Comedy Central roasts that they do two or three times a year, are always funny, but I'm really looking forward to the Hasselhoff one Sunday night.
Yeah.
We had Jeffrey Ross in, who usually is the roast master. This time around, it's going to be Seth MacFarlane, creator of The Family Guy, is going to be doing the roast masting. But he was telling us some of the jokes that are on the show, and it just sounds tremendous. Great panel, too. Hulk Hogan is on it. Pam Anderson, Gilbert Gottfried, Jerry Springer, all sorts of great people. The roast airs this Sunday night on Comedy Central. Let's talk to the Hoff. Let's find out how he's feeling about it as we head into the weekend that it's going to air. David Hasselhoff on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
We're doing great. Well, is it...
Are you doing hop-tastic?
We're fine.
We're good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you know when that show, when the tickets go on sale for that show you guys are doing?
Yeah, okay. Epicenter?
Whatever. The one with...
Smoke Out?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's not...
Because the Hop loves to rock.
Right.
That's what I understand, but they're not playing anytime.
Right.
Listen, here's my question.
The Marriott. Is the Marriott near there?
Yes.
You got a room at the Marriott?
Yep.
If you want. Whatever
you
want.
All right, great.
Here's my question. Do you look at something like the Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff and you go, this is an honor, this is a way to, this is an accomplishment of my career that I'm so beloved that they would give me this honor? Or do you look at it as, wow, it's just more people just, jumping on, making fun of David Hasselhoff and you're unhappy with it?
No, they do it because they love. Everyone is roasting me because they love me.
Are you sure?
And they know I'm a big, big star.
Yeah.
And they only, you always punch up in this business. So they're taking a shot at the big stars.
I see.
And that's why everyone is poking a little fun. But we had a great time.
You mind if I play a couple of highlights from the roast?
Hey, sure.
Get your response? Okay, here's one of the jokes.
Hasselhoff, you drunk f***. You drink a lot, right? Your liver is so shriveled, black, and dead, if you put your ear to your side, you can hear it go, what you talking about, Willis?
I don't get that.
Comedian Greg Giraldo. So that's the type of thing that you can sit there on the stage when they're filming this, and you can just smile and enjoy it? It doesn't hurt your feelings?
No, because I'm not black.
Right.
Okay,
that's not the...
point.
I may have missed the point of that joke.
All right, here's another one. Let me play another clip for you, and maybe we can get your response on this.
The Hoff once flew into a breathalyzer, and the breathalyzer said, "Whoa, whoa, one at a time, people."
See, Jeffrey Ross making fun of the fact that
one either.
Well, you have famously battled the bottle in the recent years, falling asleep in the McDonald's drive-through and going to rehab, and that terrible video from Las Vegas with you on the floor. I mean, everybody knows you drink too much.
I haven't had a drink since college.
Well,
it's true.
There's video evidence to
the
country.
The best thing about the roast is they toast you afterwards. They go, "Here's to you." So here's to me. Mm.
Oh. Okay, you shouldn't be drinking right now, David.
Oh, that's good orange juice right there.
Oh, is that all it is?
A little bit of a wang to it. Mm.
What's the wang? Wait, what do you mean a little bit of a wang to it?
A little vodka. Let's put a little vodka in there.
Oh.
This is a mess.
Oh,
David
already?
Did not hold his liquor, can he?
No, he can't.
David, no, it's mostly vodka. It's not orange juice.
Is there any orange juice at all in there, David?
No orange juice. It's just vodka.
A shot of vodka.
You sounded
it's
so
just a
good.
Bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
But a minute ago, you sounded fine, and now look at what you're doing to yourself here, David.
Okay.
Oh, you're
I'm
not okay. Oh, please stop drinking.
This is a mess.
It is a mess.
What did you do?
This is a
mess.
Well, you're not that drunk.
I need my phone on. Religious persecution. Oh, this is a mess.
David.
I'm just a little more vodka.
No. Maybe you should eat some bread.
There you go.
I can't eat. It's Ramadan.
No, but you're not
That's
Muslim.
Not you. That's
what?
Not you, David.
You're not Muslim.
Oh, no. Oh, this is a mess.
Oh, I hate that this happened.
Oh, this is a mess.
This shouldn't
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Is your teenage daughter around to film this? Because that's ugly. Okay.
Your shirt is off. You're eating a cheeseburger. Oh, we've seen this before.
Oh, this is a mess.
This isn't
it is.
Always, wait, who's
always funny? Who's that? In
who's
the background?
That
That's Omar.
Omar? I see.
Yeah. He works at the liquor store.
Oh, no. They bring it over in person?
They deliver it.
Oh, that's not good.
In a truck.
Oh.
A big truck.
Do you need to send help? I mean,
Oh, this is a mess.
It's not good.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
Is your boyfriend here yet, Ralph?
I have not seen KS yet.
Okay. Kevin Smith in minutes on the Kevin Bean Show, stopping by with a great appearance planned over the weekend that Kevin Smith fans are not going to want to miss. Yeah. That's coming up here
him
on the Kevin
nude.
Bean Show.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Smith nude. Ew.
Dreaming about that for a long time.
Yeah.
He'll be joining us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Now that Prop 8 was at least temporarily overturned, do you think it would be out of line for me to propose
to Kevin?
Yeah.
No, I think you have a small window, though. You should do it quickly.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we got to act. I think August 18th, they let you start getting married again.
Okay.
So I just want to take advantage because I think we'd be a perfect match.
I do, too, but he has a wife, and he seems to love her a lot.
Right.
So
she puts out a lot.
Yeah. From what his tweets say.
Look.
You're
I can
willing?
Ride that bucking bronco.
All right,
just saying, whatever it takes.
Well, you'll be here. You'll have your shot.
We could just be in sweet geek bliss for the rest of our lives. Just talk about comic books and movies.
I would blow my brains out.
I had
this
best life ever. Move into the Smod Castle together.
Oh, there you go. You live there.
Build a moat. Yeah. Keep everyone else out.
I don't think that's his idea for the Smod Castle is to keep everyone out.
Really?
No.
All right, we'll have to work on that. Great news. Just got an email here from listener Craig, who is a professional fight promoter.
Okay.
Ralph, I've got a fight on September 11th. It's already in place. Kevin and Michael Clark Duncan fight there on the undercard.
We're not going to fight.
Either MMA or boxing, and we can have an ambulance on site for when Kevin gets his ass kicked. That's from Craig. So I think we have a tentative date now, September 11th, a date that will live in infamy.
Great, September 11th.
Yeah, we'll call it 9/11, part two. There he is. There's my boyfriend.
Kevin there you
Smith!
Go. Hey.
Throw on
Kevin
a pair
Smith.
Of headphones there, Smitty.
I was told 9, so I thought I was early.
You are early. But sometimes you get here early.
I do.
You're never early enough for me. That's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm usually
Ralph
late.
Was just talking about proposing to you.
I'm just saying, now that Prop 8's been overturned, maybe I got a shot
I'm already
with you.
Married, Ralph.
Yeah,
and
I told
him
not
that.
Gay yet.
Right.
Convince me.
Those are all things we can work on. Those are all
charm
things.
Me. Charm me out of my pants. It's not enough to be like, I want to marry you. Charm me. Romance me, as
That's
my
right.
wife says.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
And I told him your wife puts out, according to your Twitter. So
she does. So I got a romance. She won't take the whole, like, just roll over and lift a cheek. She's like, I want romance. So you got to do the same
thing.
I'm not going to roll over and lift a cheek for you.
You are a mermaid, and I am drowning.
Oh, wow.
You're Hanks? Am I Daryl Hannah?
Wow.
That's how Russell Brand got Katy Perry.
What do you mean?
That was the line he used on her.
He said, what?
You are a mermaid and I am drowning.
And that worked?
Yeah, apparently. Worked.
He's a charming dude.
Yeah. He was a charming
dude.
Yeah,
but who else could have pulled that off? I mean, if Ralph wrote it or I wrote it or Kevin wrote it.
No, and I'm drowning. I would go for that. I would totally. I want to take my manties off right now just hearing it.
It is the accent.
You can do anything with that accent.
And he's a pixie elf kind of dude.
He is.
True. Yeah.
Light.
He is.
He better stay thin forever, because if he put on some weight.
Can you imagine if he got Kevin Smith fat? Katy Perry's like, you're a whale. I'm a mermaid and I'm off. Forget it.
I'm going to set sail and throw a harpoon at your ass. All right, quick showbiz news. Jennifer Aniston's finally responded to Bill O'Reilly's criticism of her stand on single parenting.
It's an important story. I read this morning online.
She didn't even take a stand, really. She was talking about her movie The Switch, where she plays a character who uses artificial insemination to have a baby, and she is single in the film. And she said simply, initially, that women don't have to settle with a man just to have a child, which I think is excellent advice.
I do,
don't
too.
Don't just marry whoever you're dating.
Wasn't this the old Murphy Brown argument with Dan? Dan Quayle, back in the day where he got outraged and whatnot?
So O'Reilly picked up on it and ran with it and said on his show that Jennifer Aniston and her remarks are destructive to our society.
Oh, I feel destroyed already.
Way to like overblow ridiculous celebrity comments into like a political issue. Does anybody think anybody's
Bill
listening?
O'Reilly does that?
Yeah, I know. Do you think anybody once listened to that comment that Aniston made and was just like, there goes America?
You know, I was going to get married and have a child with two parents, but after hearing Jennifer Aniston, forget about it. I'm going to be a single mom. That's
She's good for
saying.
The haircut. That's, you know, that's let's leave it there. It's like she does a new haircut, we go right on, Jenny.
She replied to People.com. Of course, the ideal scenario for parenting is obviously two parents of a mature age. And of course, many people dream of finding Prince Charming with fatherly instincts. But for those who have not yet found their Bill O'Reilly, I'm just glad science has provided a few other options.
Zing!
Nice.
Oh, there you
Bill
go.
O'Reilly got tagged. Bill O'Reilly looks like a douche right now compared to Jennifer Aniston's mighty comments.
Round one.
Totally, right? Goes to Aniston.
Yeah.
Advantage? Aniston.
Good news this Sunday. Macy's will open up their doors, and on its racks will be the new line of Glee clothing you can pick up if you're interested
this
weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited.
For those of us in the industry, we don't have to wait till then. I've already got my set.
You bastards!
I know people.
Your daughter loves the Glee, doesn't she?
She does love Glee very much.
So
I don't have any Glee clothing.
Do you have a Glee anything?
Glee, trust me, you've seen that show. They don't make anything in my size. Okay. You know what I'm saying? There's no Glee portly.
They have these
Glee big and tall doesn't exist yet, man. Right.
They have the Sue Sylvester sweatsuit. Maybe you can get one of those.
I can pop into that as well. She's thin though, man.
Yeah,
you would need a very large one. Sue Sylvester's fat grandfather sweatsuit. That's what I'm looking for.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Pat Harrington from One Day at a Time.
Schneider.
He was Schneider.
Yeah.
Ms. Romano. He'd come in with his tool belt.
M.S. Romano, he would call her, too.
Right.
M.S. Romano.
Never fixed a thing, not once.
No.
He always had the tool belt on, though.
I always got the impression that he was the booty call for her when the kids weren't around.
You think?
Sure. That was the only reason. He had keys to the apartment.
Yeah, no, but he was always putting the moves on her. She never seemed to respond too much.
Because up front, in front of her kids, she was like, I'm a strong woman. I can raise these kids on my own like Aniston.
I see.
But in real life, she was just like,
lines.
I need some janitorial junk, man. Just come here and fix me.
Done,
yeah, work on my pipe, Schneider.
Use the plunger, Schneider. Use the plunger.
Yes.
Yeah, Pat Harrington is 81 years old. Danny Bonaducci of the Partridge Family. Wow, this is like the TV Land birthdays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is 51 years
old. They never
old
crossed over those two wonderful shows.
No, they never did. John Slattery from Mad Men, who's brilliant on that show. He's 48
years old. He's the white-haired dude?
He's Sterling.
He's
Roger
amazing.
Sterling. Isn't he
great? Yeah, I can watch that dude just read anything.
Debbie Mazar.
Yeah.
Of course, from Goodfellas, and most recently she's on Entourage. She's 46 years old. She looks pretty good for 46.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
And that's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
These are my favorite days when it's not the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Kevin Smith is in studio right now.
Hello.
First of all, we missed your birthday a couple days ago, but happy belated.
Thank you.
Great.
I'm 40 now, man.
Yeah.
40.
Oh,
I
it was 40.
Yeah.
You're
we
grown
taped
up.
It. We taped it while I changed to 40 on stage. I did a show.
You're in Jersey, right? You're home.
In Jersey at Red Bank at my home theater, like literally a few blocks from where I grew up.
But wait, you just said you're an adult?
Now I am 40, man. That's official, right? You can no longer, God, like, up not. Until 40, I was kind of like.
I'm saying you're still kind of like.
Can I still?
Yes.
Like, can I still dress like a 12-year-old?
Yeah, you are now.
I know.
It just becomes a little sadder.
That's all. Yeah, I realized something changed at 40. I was like, can I still do this?
You're
like,
wearing a hockey jersey that says, puck you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not
a dream, dude. If I can make it to 70 dressed like a 12-year-old, I would have won in life. That's an epic win.
It would have been so awesome if you had walked in here in a suit and tie saying, look, I'm 40. This is how I'm going to dress.
It would have looked like I'd called Psycho Mike and been like, what are you wearing today? A suit? Is anyone asked him why he's wearing a suit?
Yes, we did. And? He had a speaking engagement last night, he said, and then he slept in his clothes and came in the same clothes.
Yeah. I like Mike.
I still think it's your big picture.
Mike's really funny.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right, so you're on stage. You turned 40. Nothing will change, though, right?
Nothing changed. Okay. It was a great show, though. I was so happy with that show. It was a normal Q&A, but we were taping it for Epix, that channel Epix, and then eventually it'll be on DVD. But right before I did the show, I was like, how can I do it differently? I've done like 3 DVDs now and whatnot. Everyone's seen the acts, just me answering questions. And I was like, there are a bunch of stories that I wanted to tell that I've had for 3 years, haven't put on wax.
But no one's asked? Or?
Well, just not. We haven't taped yet. They've asked. Oh, they always ask. So the stories are well-honed and stuff. So I just laid them out for myself and said, like, if I could do it off one question, is it possible to do? Because the show is only 2 hours. The TV version is 2 hours. So one dude got up and asked the first question. Didn't matter what it was.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I was like, okay. And I started the response and I got through every story I wanted to
you
tell.
You shoehorned everything
into one guy. Totally. And at the end of it, I was just like, so to answer your question, yes. There's, you know, it was very
good night, everybody.
Wrong. Totally.
So
I was so happy with it.
The second person that was standing at the microphone was like,
yeah,
what a dick.
Question.
When did I get my shot?
His legs are cramping up. This guy is waiting.
It was a true Q&A.
He's laying down.
One A. Long A, man. It was fun. And then after that, I came home for like 20 minutes and then jumped over to Sydney, and I had 2 Q&As there at the Opera House. That was kind of cool.
I jumped over to Sydney.
I did. I hopped continent, if you will.
Kevin Smith sold out.
I'm playing, though. That was the big deal because I haven't, you know, really flown since Southwest and whatnot.
Oh, sure.
What happened with Southwest?
I didn't hear.
Nothing. No, okay. It's when I had the airline, Ralph, you probably weren't paying this.
Say Kevin Smith sold out, you're talking about Cop Out, right?
Yeah. Heaven.
How dare you? Or was there more to that
sentence? Sold out the Sydney Opera.
The Sydney Opera House.
Sold it out.
But to talk sellout, Bean, I went. That go back to 95 with Mallrats. Don't say I sold out recently. I sold out the moment I could.
Is there any, this may be a stupid question, but I've never been to Australia. Is there any difference in sensibility or sense of humor? With the Australian fans, was exactly the same as being on stage in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Everyone over there has a Max suit from Where the Wild Things Are.
Okay.
You would fit in amazingly, man.
Love it.
It's an island of a grown adult men child. No, it's really, you know what? Australia reminds me of Canada, very, very much like Canada. Same sensibility. Last time we were here, we were kind of talking about it.
Right.
So a lot of weed,
a lot of alcohol.
I do remember. There's a lot of booze. Yeah, they like to drink. Okay.
And
they're
polite,
real
white
nice
people,
and very, they all speak English. That helps.
I was saying there's a macho tone to that country.
I didn't, but not where I go. You think I'm going to find macho at the Sydney Opera House?
That's true.
Comic book festival graphic? Not at all. Not at all. It was a bunch of lady men, more boobs there than chicks, if you could imagine that. But it was cool. And then I came home, and now we're here. And then Smodcastle opens this weekend. We had our Prima Nocta, right, which was our opening night after Comic-Con, where I last saw you guys. Right. And then today we go into operation for the first full weekend. Like, now it starts.
Wow. We need to take a break, but I want you to explain to people when we come back what it is that haven't heard about it, because it sounds like the best place ever. So.
And you've got good news for the gays, too, I understand. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm coming out, and I'm coming to them.
All right.
I'm looking for you, gays.
Perfect. Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. ViewAskew.com is the website. This is a big, big weekend, something I know you've been looking forward to. Probably it's got to be close to a year now since this whole idea was hatched, or 8 or 9 months at least.
Feels like it was only a little while ago that I was in here going, hey, we're going to open a theater called Smodcastle.
Tell people about that.
It came very quickly. I was on Twitter. I was on Twitter.
Put your phone
down. I was like, can you guys talk for a second?
Put your phone down.
I was on Twitter, and I'd just come off of like a week of touring with Scott Mosier, the guy I do Smodcast with, our podcast. And we did it live in front of, 5, 6 different houses. And I was like, this would be so fun to do all the time. But all the traveling kind of, you know, takes a lot out of you. And I was like, maybe if we had like a black box theater in Los Angeles, little theater, 50 seats or 100 seats or something like that, we can go. And then I got my friend Matt Cohen involved, and he went off and found the space. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard. It's in a place called The Complex between Wilcox and Cole.
Yeah. And you own it now.
Now, well, I mean, we rent it, but I own the theater. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And it's called Smod Castle. We redid it inside. It kind of, I think I've said it before, it kind of looks like my office or bedroom if it was in the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. It's a little gothic and very hockey-oriented as well.
So how often do you think you'll be down there?
I'll
versus
be there.
How
I
often?
Do weekly shows. Like, I'm going to be doing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. I have three separate nights of shows. This week, we're doing Smodcast 3D. That's the live version of Smodcast. Me and Mosier on Friday. That sold out, like, instantly. But that'll
meaning tonight?
That meaning tonight, yes. That's
okay.
Right, but that sold out a while ago. But normally that'll be on Saturdays. We had to do it Friday this week. On Sundays, I do two shows. One is called Gay Clown with my friend Malcolm Ingram. Mm-hmm. And one is called Highlands 3D, which is basically this other podcast we do on the network that's just me and my friends talking about the our youth and the town we grew up in. And I'm doing that one with Jason Mears, the guy who played
sure.
Jay. And then we have a new show that Katie Morgan was doing one, but she had to bow out this weekend because she had a death in the family. So we replaced it with this other show called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, which is just me and Muse talking about what happens after the extensions come off and life after the Popeye kind of thing.
Okay, let me ask you this, because yeah. you're a guy who has a voice, you've written successful books, you've got best-selling DVDs, movies that millions of people go to see. You get a lot of validation for your comedy. What's the draw for you to drive down there and perform it sometimes in front of 35 people? Why do you do it?
I think lately, for the last year, I've been doing way more stage, and I've been paid more to be myself than I've been paid to be a director, I guess is the easiest way to say it.
Right.
And
it's less work.
Way less work, and it's far more gratifying to stand up there, be yourself, and talk about your life than it is to, like, you know, make a film. Making film is wonderful.
You're
but
not
that's
stopping
a lot
making
of work.
Films, though.
No, that's, okay, that's just that's how I pay the bills.
Okay, good.
But, you know, it's oddly enough, because of the movies, I have this nice little side gig of people like, here's some money, now be yourself. And that's the win, man. That's like, that's the epic trick, yeah. isn't it? To get paid to just talk and be yourself. That's kind of, I mean, you guys know, you do it every morning.
We can't wait to be ourselves someday.
Is that what it is?
Instead of these characters they've written
these
for
wacky
us.
Characters
yeah.
y'all play. Yeah,
yeah,
you know what
Kevin's
it's like.
In Mensa, by the way, and he feels so, he's so embarrassed by having to play dumb every day.
It's weird. When you talk about the GFC, though. The global financial crisis with Kevin Ryder, you hear things that yep. Alan Greenspan hasn't yeah. even expressed.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, every morning, he's here talking about boobies and stuff.
Because he's a tremendous actor.
That's
okay,
his job.
So... you will also rent the Smod Castle out for when you're not using it, right?
We're doing lots of stuff there. We've gotten a lot of requests. This was weird. The moment we talked about doing it, we had a bunch of people going, hey, can we get married there? Because I married Jim Jackman and Katie Morgan. I got a Universal Life. You know, everybody can
sure.
right,
yeah.
become ordained in the Universal Life Church.
$1.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then I did that. And then so cats were like, you're ordained. We'd like to get married there. So we have about 40 weddings packed.
Are
like,
you kidding
up
me?
To
and you're doing them all?
And I will be the guy doing the proceedings.
Do you put comedy in?
I will. I mean, like you can't come there and expect no. me to be
right.
austere and earnest. But
I mean, that's not what they want.
Yeah,
they
pretty much want a roast more than a wedding. So I guess we'll be doing that down the road. And it's just this kind of functional playland space where you can just go and try stuff
just
that me and Ralph are going to do.
Yeah.
What are we going
to
call it?
I don't know. We have to talk to our lawyers and see what we can
figure out what we can. But essentially a variation
it's
of...
It's going to be the showbiz beat, basically, with me and Smith, but talking about show business.
And we'll do like an hour.
Say showbiz, though. It's going to be sci-fi.
No, no. It's going to be all aspects of show business.
Right. Yeah, it'll be everything. Just the stuff that won't get us laid. Stuff that may indeed get us laid one day if we talk about it.
May lean a little heavy to comic books and science fiction. That
yeah,
kind of
totally.
But we'll cover it
but
all.
But it's just that I mean, you know, you guys work every day, so of course you don't want to come out at night, but you guys are more than welcome. Anything you want to come and do
No,
there.
But let me ask you this.
Dude, believe me, I was telling people one day, 2 months from now, we're getting Bean to come up. He's going to dress in his dopey furry outfit from Where the Wild Things Are and just stand there on stage and whatnot. That's all you have to do.
I can
sell
that.
Him.
We can make
totally.
That happen.
All of the things that you're doing on stage, the various shows that you described for this weekend, the thing you're going to do with Ralph,
yes.
is that all stuff that will be recorded and then also podcast
That's
for your
the
fans
beautiful
around the
thing.
World?
Everything we put on wax and then eventually it goes up on free.
You put on wax?
Online. I say that my wife yells at me too. You're back to my wife. She's like, what do you mean wax? This ain't the 50s. You weren't even alive then. It's just an expression.
Okay.
We put it, we record it, and then it'll eventually go up online. And then we're doing stuff that's not even like... podcast like tomorrow morning is one of my favorite shows. We're just doing a Saturday morning cartoon thing where we have a giant blow up
the projection screen TV.
Right.
And we just put cartoons. You come in your pajamas, sit there, eat cereal, and watch for 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, I look forward to that. That's the one I'm not doing so anything weird on stage. I just want to sit there and watch cartoons.
Yeah, well, you're an adult now. You certainly have become an adult.
Basically, I created your podcast because I need friends. That's what it comes down to.
Someone watch cartoons with me.
Someone play with me. Someone come watch cartoons. Maybe we'll play some Legos afterwards. But it's a cool space, man. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And it's definitely worth checking out. Go to smodcastle.com. You can find tickets. There's few of the shows are sold out, like the Smodcast one's sold out. We have a program called Smoovies at Smodcastle, where once a week we just show a flick. This week we're showing a Big Helium Dog. A friend of mine, Brian Lynch, made this movie. Very funny movie. 15 years ago. It's never seen the light of day.
Wow.
So now we can throw it up. Yeah, it's just cool. And hopefully as we go further and further with it, you know, we'll program 7 days a week. And then it'll be stuff that, like, I'll eventually run out of back pocket stuff, so people could start submitting. Like, sure, you got an indie flick you made and you want to throw it up in a 50-screen theater, wow, do it. You can keep the proceeds.
Can you make money off of a place that has such a small available seating?
Yeah. If you're doing...
Tickets are $1,000 a piece,
aren't they? Yeah, tickets are very expensive. If you do 50 seats at $20, it's like $1,000, man. You do that, like, twice, you've paid your rent for the month. So, okay. We do it more than twice. So, yeah, it's... I mean, I'm not looking for it to be lucrative. I'm going to retire off it. I just want it to pay for itself. And at this point, it'll more than take care of that.
Right.
Well,
and more importantly,
like
it's just about being, yeah, that's the idea. Awesome. It's just kind of fun. And
I got to tell you, Ralph, tell me if I'm wrong here. Is there anyone as famous as Smith that is more accessible to his fans that you can think of?
I'm not even famous. That's the thing.
A lot of people, but I wouldn't say
the key to fame is to not be accessible. The moment you make yourself accessible, you can't really be considered famous. You're just considered, I know that guy. He made a movie once.
Yeah. But how many celebrities are there that every single person in the world who wants to meet him can?
That's my point is I couldn't possibly be considered or defined as a celebrity based on that alone. The criteria is you can't get to those
people. I saw you in Die Hard. I thought you were an amazing actor.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are you saying that because I told people that you're really good at math and the global financial crisis?
Yeah, making that up.
Smarter than Greenspan.
Mel Gibson's a pretty open guy.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Yeah, that's true.
Good time. I've had fun with him the other day. He'll talk to you.
Yeah, he'll talk to you.
Smodcastle.com for details. ViewAskew.com for everything Kevin Smith related. A quick breakdown. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat with Kevin Smith when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show as we turn it over to the Kevin Smith and Ralph Show for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, guys?
More news in the Lindsay Lohan case, believe it or not. You may have heard that the initial judge, Marsha Revelle, had to recuse herself from the case because she acted inappropriately when it came to sentencing.
Why? What'd she do? I'm not quite...
Well, there's certain...
She tried to kiss her nephew on her fingernails?
No, that was the other girl.
The other one.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, there are certain steps you have to take if you want to communicate with people involved in the case. You usually have to go through the lawyers of both parties.
Right.
She went and did an end around and personally contacted some of the rehab facilities that were being considered for where Lindsay should go at the end of it. And so the defense team said that was out of line. She should not have been doing
that. It sounds like if a judge is deciding to do some research, the judge should be able to do that.
But she should ask for that information through the legal parties that are in front of the
bench. To be fair, shouldn't you also be in court when you're supposed to be in court?
Some people say you're on probation, you should actually adhere to those rules.
Yeah, this chick got a break. Why can't they cut the judge a break?
Well, because they had to change judges, now insiders are saying it looks like Lindsay's team may be able to get her an early release from her rehab.
Oh, thank God she's going
to
get out early.
She was supposed to do 90 days. Now it looks like she may be out as early as maybe next week. So.
You hear that, kids?
Oh, that'll do it.
Oh,
though.
You can commit crimes and be wrong and bad as long as you're famous.
That's right.
You have people.
Yeah, you need people.
And you really want to hurry up that rehab process along because it really is a pain in the ass.
Parent Trap 2 is what I'm waiting for, where she's the parent this time. One messed up parent and one even more messed up parent. And both kids are like, we got to keep these people apart. This is horrible.
And
what a
Lindsay
terrible mother.
And Lindsay is fine. It really cuts into your drinking time, too.
That's true.
It really cuts back on.
They're very touchy about that in rehab.
Kevin, would you hire Lindsay Lohan for one of your movies?
I would never say never. I think her personal problems aside, I always thought she was a really strong actress.
I think she's a decent actress, too.
But her personal problems
scare you a bit.
Definitely, but you got to imagine if she doesn't wind up kind of killing herself, 10 years she'll probably turn around or something like that. She can make it that long.
True. I wouldn't want the hassle on the set of having to now deal with paparazzi stalking my movie if Lindsay Lohan.
I bet you it would be really tough to get bonded now with her insurance for a movie. That's part of the process. You've got to get bonded insurance. You got to get somebody who say like, hey, if something goes wrong,
we're paying for this, because, you know, you're talking about millions of dollars being thrown around and whatnot. So, like, when we did Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, we had to get Muse bonded because of Muse, because right. he had had drug trouble and whatnot, and then he was all good. So for this, for somebody like her with, yeah. with problems that bad, it's going to be tough to get insurance on any movie.
Although, I'll tell you, who has been remarkably supportive of her through all this is your buddy Robert Rodriguez, who, of course, used her
he
in Machete.
He likes her a lot.
Yeah,
he was, she's in Machete. When's yeah. that come out?
Soon. Yeah. I can't wait.
That looks kind of good.
It does look real good.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's good. She obviously needs help and doesn't want it right now. You can't help somebody that doesn't want it.
No.
I dealt with a drug addict for years and years. You yeah. can't lead a horse to water, man. It's like they got to make that choice, and she's obviously still choosing to party.
Wait, you can't lead a horse to water? You can.
You can.
Yeah, you can't make him drink.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to figure this out.
You can lead a horse to water,
okay.
but you can't have sex with it. It's still illegal, even if you're by the water. I believe that's the old adage my father used to tell me.
What if you're putting the horse into the water? And
then
the horse,
if you submerse the horse, right, then you can have sex with it. Because then you're, what is it called, like the
international waters?
International waters. That's when you can have sex with
the horse. Far enough into the water,
okay. you can do whatever you want to them.
That's
but
okay.
They do tend to drown. However, they're poor swimmers.
So if the donkey is parasailing out into the middle of the ocean, then you
fine.
Can have sex with it. Got
fair
it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of horses, the butterscotch stallion is in the news.
Good segue.
Oh,
thank
what's
you.
What's he up to?
I don't know what that means.
Owen Wilson's nickname is the butterscotch stallion.
Is that what they call him?
That did
is
not
his
know
nickname.
That.
I didn't know that.
Didn't
who
know
gave
that?
Him that nickname?
He did
himself.
Did
really?
Really? Call me the butterscotch stallion? No, I have no idea.
Somebody had to come up with it. I came up with Bennifer. Somebody had to come up with that.
I believe the British press calls him the butterscotch stallion.
Who in the British press?
The
he doesn't have a name.
I've never heard
London
this once.
Sun, the London Sun.
I have heard it. I knew exactly who Ralph was talking about.
Did
but
you really?
We don't need to decide where it got started, Kevin. Let's just
wow,
let him move on with the story about Owen Wilson.
Cutting off
the more I've been on the show, the more hostile the guy who's not in the room
right.
has been to me for years and years now.
That's how I feel.
Unbelievable.
But for him to say we're getting off track is
still a guest, dude. Still a guest. Family friend, but still a guest. Might want to treat me like a guest.
Bean's the king of the tangent, but he has no time for yours.
He really does, man.
That's correct.
He's right. We should move on, though.
All right.
Anyway, the butterscotch stallion.
Yes.
Origin,
who's that?
Origin unknown.
I'm just going to take it on faith. Everybody knows that's Owen
sure.
Wilson.
Is working with Woody Allen.
Okay.
And apparently he's becoming quite cozy with his co-star. Word is he started a relationship with the lovely Rachel McAdams.
No.
Oh. Nice.
No, I want her to be with Ryan Gosling.
I know, we
in
all
in a world
do.
Where no. I'm invested in celebrity romance, I need Canadians with Canadians.
Want them to stick to their
that's
own kind.
Yeah, I want her to stick with Ryan Gosling. Those
no,
were two
over.
Really good actors.
That's over.
They belong together.
That's over.
Owen Wilson, the butterscotch stallion, while I enjoy him, is not in the same caliber as a Ryan Gosling.
No.
How do you go from that good of an actor to an actor who's more of a comic actor?
Listen, I said this earlier today when we did this story, and nobody knows it better than you. Movie sets are summer camp for grown-ups.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
And when you're in that rarefied atmosphere, and you're working together 17 hours a day, and you're living in the same hotel, these
a lot of
things,
bad decisions get made. A lot of, like, this won't come back to haunt me
exactly.
kind of thing.
I think I really love him is the thing you often hear.
About sure. 2 months from now, Rachel McAdams is going to be like, does everyone know? Does everyone know that I laid with the butterscotch stallion?
More romance news. In Touch Magazine reporting that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who was so good in Inception, he's so good in everything, quite
honestly. He is
great.
500 Days of Summer, of course. He was good in the Alien show. With the
Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm-hmm. With, way back when?
John, he was on Roseanne as a little kid, and
that's
he was
right.
really good in
yeah,
that.
He's always been
as
good.
As a kid that counted like pennies, and she was an irritating friend of DJs.
He's 29 years old, and apparently he is dating 41-year-old actress Lucy Liu.
Hi!
Oh,
that's his reward right there. That's yeah. when you know you've made it, when Lucy Liu is, hello.
That's a win-win right
yeah,
there.
Oh,
it's good
yeah.
for her, good for him.
She's amazing.
Everybody's
she was
good.
My favorite part of all those Charlie's Angels flicks.
Me too.
Yeah.
She was, you originally
wow.
thought of
how's
her
that happen?
As your female Kato back in the day.
Yes,
right?
when yeah,
you were
when
doing
I was working
Green
on my Green Hornet, I wanted to put Lucy Liu in as Mulan Kato.
And speaking of smoking hot women, Susan Boyle is in the news.
Yeah.
Of course, from Britain's Got Talent.
She's a cougar or a Wookiee, as we've heard. Lucy Liu's a cougar and Susan Boyle's
a
Wookiee.
That's correct.
Lovable, but
she's
you wouldn't want to sleep with
her. She's not quite as big as a Wookiee.
That's true. That's true.
She
Ewoks have amazing voices.
She's rich. Susan Boyle's rich.
How'd she make her money? Hooking?
How did she make her money?
No,
yeah,
her album was an international.
Oh, that's right. She's a singer.
Yeah, she sang on Britain's Got Talent, and her album was an international smash hit CD.
That clip will still move me online.
That's
I know,
amazing.
Like, it shouldn't months later. It should be like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm irritated, but, oh, it's still kind of moving. Everybody watching all those pretty people go like, hey, man, this fat chick can sing.
That's kind of what it is.
It is,
her projected net worth by the time it's all said and done is somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million.
Wow! She's worth more than me. That's official. Susan Boyle's definitely worth more. I'm worth like $20.
The reason $60 million. She's so rich is she doesn't spend any of her money.
This is who the Butterscotch Stallion house. Should be running with, man. Yeah. Then you can quit making movies and just live off the fat of the land.
She was living in the same house she was living in when she went on that game show, that talent show.
I like that.
But she finally purchased a new home in Scotland. It is a huge 1,700 square feet.
That's the weirdest discussion about this affair where
that's
I was
not big, right?
I thought it was big, and these guys started mocking me, going, 1,700? That's like a condo. I was like, really? It sounded big.
Your bedroom's probably about 1,700. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so she bought a small house.
She did.
This is news?
Is she going to move on into plastic surgery at any point? She has the money.
I don't know. She's going to be on Glee, though.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's going to be on Glee.
That's a good matchup, man. I like that.
Her career just keeps moving forward, but she's cheap. That's what I'm saying. She does not spend a lot of money.
She doesn't. Maybe she doesn't believe that's going to last. She's like, sooner or later, these people are going to throw me off for being so.
Yeah, but at her age, Kevin, it would be difficult for
her to
spend.
Shut up, Bean. We're trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, man. Don't go off on a tangent, Bean.
I'm on topic.
How dare you? We're talking about
On topic. I'm saying at her age, she could start spending money and have plenty to last her the rest of her life if she never made another penny.
That's true?
She's only in her 40s, Bean.
What? Yeah, she looks like she's in her
60s.
She's only in her 40s?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
She's just beat looking 40 look
that
something.
Bad. You're 60 million and you look like that. What's the first thing you do?
Plastic surgery. That's
no,
what
I buy a man, a slave, a sex slave. I'm like, just sex on command. She's a human being.
She seems asexual though. She loves the cats. Yes, she has lots
very
of cats.
Much. And she's asexual on TV because that's cute. But she closed the door. She's just like, I'm gonna lift a cheek. You get in there, Boil. I want you to oil up, Boyle.
I was hoping to never hear that sentence.
Oil up a boil or oil up boil?
Pop my boil, then oil up boil.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
You may have outstayed your welcome.
That was it, I guess. The room went dark on me. Bean's sitting there going, I told you. Dude's a total jerk.
Later, Bean's going to scold us.
I called it.
It's like the Gulf boil spill.
All right, we have
no, he didn't.
Wow. Oh, put it in the file.
Top kill.
I hate to do this, but we have 1 minute.
All right, well, then screw you.
I'm just saying, I hate to do it, but that's
You know what's not going to happen on our podcast when we're doing Showbiz News?
I know, but
you're not going to be able to tell us to stop.
Nobody will ever stop us.
I don't want to tell
you to stop us. The Showbiz beat for 5 hours straight.
It'll be like a dance marathon. People will be like,
we're doing news from the 70s. We're like, well, it looks like they're making Convoy. People are like, that's an old newspaper.
That Smash Singles, not going to be a big budget motion picture. C.W. McCall couldn't be more happy.
Oh, that should be the show, dude. Old Showbiz. Biz beat, where we just do old news from like talk about hopeful projects. Howard the Duck, they're finally doing it. It's going to be huge.
George Lucas can do no wrong.
All right, Kevin Smith. Smod Castle.
Yeah, it's open now. Friday, Saturday, Sunday program. And go to smodcastle.com, buy some tickets, come see us.
There you go. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. On Monday, we do have Kevin Nealon talking about the return of Weeds, one of the best shows on TV.
Yes.
Agreed.
And highlights of the Hasselhoff roast on Monday.
Nice. Enjoy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wow, that was hard to listen to.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Young people don't know anything.
Roll another one.
I don't need medication.
Just like the other.
Good for me.
This one seems to be about to quit.
How dare you?
And I need another hit.
How do you feel about No Cussing Week?
Bad.
Why?
Because I like cussing.
What do you have to say to the kid who's trying to start No Cussing Week?
F*** you.
Teenage girls.
Just like the other one.
So, so fresh.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
I think I speak for all of us when I say that New York and everyone from there can fornicate themselves with an iron stick.
Tony.
Dan. Zahn.
Just pass it around.
Oh, yeah, that's so terrific.
So it's over? That seems unlikely.
Oh,
were listening to that really makes you want to be part of the morning. That's beautiful. Wish I could stay here and listen to you all play all day.
Yeah, we wish we could.
Thank you for that. I've got to leave, though.
Cut! Print! That was perfect! Great job, everybody! Great job!
Still waiting on that heifer, Julio. You! 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 You're cool! And you, I'm out!
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.